want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Let's take a call. Cape California. Hello.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Don Imus. How you doing today? Love your radio show. Can you tell me what happened to Don and Mike in New York City? If they're not on live anymore?
Are they back on? They were taken off for a while. Are they on or not on the air in New York, Don?
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether they're on or not.
Well, Don and Mike are on. They're on in Washington, right? Don and Mike.
I think that's where they originated from. Yeah.
Las Vegas. Hello.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Your discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke. They drink. They use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
The management of WJFK has decided that while ongoing negotiations continue, we will bring you the best of the Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike will be back live soon. Thank you for listening.
Rich feel of a soft tail between your legs. You ride out of town. This is Craig Klein. I'm Craig Klein.
I'm Craig Klein.
We're doing Dueling Craig Klein.
Buzz, want to do it? I know you do.
I'm Craig Klein.
Craig Klein.
Rob, join in, please. Say you're
join
Craig
Klein. Join our Craig Klein club.
I'm Craig Klein.
I'm Craig Klein.
No, I'm Craig Klein.
I am Craig Klein.
Meanwhile, Craig Klein sitting on his unemployed butt right now, wishing that someone would give him a job.
He's worth it. He's worth the investment.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Hey.
How's it going? I have one more suggestion for the washout on the Love Boat.
Really? You sure?
Yeah.
You know, because we really, really went into that pretty hot and heavy, and I hope this is good.
We kind of exhausted the topic.
Well, with that said, before you just ramble ahead here, with that said, we have said that, would you like to rethink your position?
No, I think I got it ready.
People always love barreling through.
Yeah. All right.
Two perfect wasted child actors, all right? Joey Lawrence and Wesley from Mr. Belvedere.
I like the Joey Lawrence.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I like the Wesley from Mr. Belvedere.
See, I don't remember Wesley.
I just mean I like him. Yeah. I don't mean I want him on the show. I mean I like him.
You like him in a man likes man way.
He's money.
Wesley Crusher might be a choice.
Wesley Crusher, absolutely. He'd be perfect.
Yeah, you could get a lot of those Star Trek people to come back.
But we're not talking about that anymore.
That's
even
right.
Though he was able to sneak in with his Joey Lawrence there.
You could fall into the trap very easily. Yeah.
At least they weren't real lame. I'll give that guy credit.
That's right.
That he didn't say, like, you know, I don't know, Ann Romano.
Because otherwise we had to say to that guy, get out of town.
Hello, Donald Mike Show.
Hi, how you doing today?
Hey, great, thank you.
I got a really bad one for you, but I'm going to say that I promise I'll hang up and won't even bring it up again, okay?
Well, see, it wouldn't matter. You wouldn't have to bring it up again because you're getting your satisfaction out of sharing it with us.
Right.
How about sorrow?
No. Sorrow? No.
Could you?
You have to apologize.
Someone already said that anyway.
I'm sorry.
And
I'm.
Charo's not happening and relevant like Kadeem Hart.
Oh, yes, you're right.
See, not only was it a bad one, but it was one that was said before.
Yeah, but I wonder if Kim Hardison was full of glasses.
See, no, that was an opportunity for you to apologize.
I humbly apologize.
You absolutely rumbled ahead.
I humbly apologize.
I don't believe you.
I don't either.
I mean it.
Damage is done now.
I'm a mother of four children. I always apologize.
How old are you?
I'm 27. I'll be 28.
27. Meet the baby machine, everybody.
Oh, my God.
Honey, cross your legs.
Four kids. What are their ages?
6, 4, 3, and 3 months.
Oh, my God.
Someday on this show, we're going to give away the tube tying. I mean, I know we talked about it yesterday.
Hey, I'm willing to sacrifice my husband. I want to have him neutered.
Really? You want to have your husband neutered?
Yeah, so when I'm fixed.
And, you know, that's how a guy likes hearing about it.
Sure.
And his wife wants to have him neutered.
What do you mean, honey?
You know, my wife's already started that with our new dog, with Max, with the little terrier.
The neutering?
Really?
But you know, it's cheaper to neuter a man than it is cheap.
All right. Yeah. Bye, bye, Charo.
See you later.
Because I like holding the little dog up, the little terrier. I hold him up like this, and I tickle his stomach, and he goes, I hold him up
see,
over my head.
For a minute there, when we were talking about neutering, I thought you were going to say you tickle something else. I was
no.
getting nervous there.
Because you were touching there earlier.
That was only to see if he was peeing or not, and yeah. I'll give you the update now. Okay. He now lifts his little leg.
Does he really?
So we can tell when
all
he pees.
Right. What a
when,
stud. That's great for a little dog.
And when he does the other, he does a little... squats and makes a little poops come out.
Oh, that's great.
So I was holding him up like this and going, oh, you're a sweet boy, you're a sweet boy. Mm-hmm. And Frida said, look at those little balls. That's exactly what she said.
And he's got them.
Yeah, she said, look at those. And then she looked right at him. She goes, you won't have those for very long.
Oh, I hate that.
I say that that is damaging. Because, you know, they say that you shouldn't, you should be careful what you say to your kids
mm-hmm.
when your kids are real little because
right.
they soak it all in even if you think that you, they don't understand what you're saying.
Sure.
I know that dog now knows
mm-hmm.
that his little tiny terrier testicles
yes.
are on the endangered species list.
And that your wife will take him to the vet joyfully, joyfully to get that job done.
Oh, and she took him to the vet yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Had to get some shots. Oh, she delights in that. Oh, yeah, he had to get two or three shots. We talked about it. Snip, snip. Ouch.
And just a happy, hey, it's all done now. Now I totally control you.
And meanwhile, poor Colonel Klink, our German Shepherd, he's looking up going, don't look at me. I don't have any balls left.
No, it's a terrible experience for me.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What up, guys?
Hey, my friend.
How you doing?
Great, thanks.
I got a quick, it's funny you're mentioning little kids. Do you guys remember, as little children, things that you've done when you were bad and things that your parents might have said to you that put the fear of God into you to put you in check?
I remember the bad things I did. I'm not sure I remember what my parents said afterwards.
Oh, so with my mom and dad, that was constant.
I tell you, my parents, what they used to do to me, they used to tell me that if you keep on being bad, we're going to call the witch on you. My mom would actually pick up the phone and start calling the witch, and I would just
call
I would
the witch.
Scream. She said, the witch is going to come and get you, man. Oh, that was, I would just drop everything. And just,
sounds like you had a real nice mom.
I swear.
Okay.
No, my mom was the best, but still, you know.
See,
like,
that's it. His mom's the best, so it worked.
Yeah.
For all those people that are worried about the delicate psyches of children, there, it worked. You know, I'm going to call the witch. The kid stops doing what the kid's doing, that's fine.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello?
Pretty dense little kid. Everybody knows you can't just call a witch.
Yeah. the smart five-year-old looking at him and going, oh, yeah, you go ahead and call the witch.
Hello.
Hello.
That's today's five-year-old. I predict that's your kids when they turn out
my
to be
kid
five.
Already. Yeah. Both my kids are absolutely too sharp for me. Too. And if you say anything to them that you shouldn't have said, like the other night when I told you that bed bugs bite.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she heard it, and I said, sleep tight, and you're all right. She said, no, you didn't. Looking right at me, the honesty of a child. You know, you can't do it anymore.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Radio Gods.
Hi.
How you doing today?
Great, thank you.
Hey, I was calling you.
You sound like a guy at a rock concert. Minneapolis, thank you.
Yay.
Hello, Fargo. Wake up. This is Warrant.
Yeah, they did a tape for us one time. The band Warrant, and that's what it sounded like too.
Wake up! Hey, wake up! We're here with Don and Mike. Wake up!
We're Warrant, man. Yeah,
big hair freaks. I like a lot of bands that had big hair.
Sure,
they're kind of fag bands. Queer rock.
Best hair on any band ever. REO Speedwagon.
Yeah.
You ever see that guy's hair?
Kevin Cronin.
Yeah, well, he look, I mean, honest, the guy, little look, he looked like one of those little princes that you would see in the medieval times.
You know who else had good hair? Big, bouffant, striggly. It was Styx.
Oh, yes.
Dennis DeYoung.
Babe, I'm leaving.
I've got a secret. Secret, secret. I'm a rock star, but I want to be on Broadway. Kilroy. Kilroy. Yeah, hello, Mike. I'm sorry. Please, continue.
No problem, guys.
Yeah, Bobby.
Hey, Don, I know you, this gal, Helen Hunt, you think she's a hottie, I believe.
Oh, yeah. I'm leading the charge on that one.
I work in a grocery store, and I was going by the magazine rack one day, and she was on the cover of a magazine called New Woman or something like that, I think it was called. Anyway, they were definitely showing her nice high beams, and, but that's not really... What caught my eye was...
Can I tell you something? You are smooth.
Yeah, this is quite a yarn. We're really... We are simply captivated with this storytelling.
What do you do in the grocery there? What do you do in Piggly Wiggly?
You don't handle the food, do you?
No.
Thank God.
Don't handle it.
Are you a bag boy or more, to be more honest, bag man?
Bag man.
It seems like it's not a paper boy anymore. It's really some 80-year-old guy that drives a station wagon around.
Paper man. Paper man.
Nice boys to come into the store.
Boy, you're the kind of guy that I just love the thought of my wife going into the grocery store with you sitting there by the Cheerios. Hey, see you, Mrs. Craig. You're wearing green so you can hide. You're a tramp.
So what do you do there at Ralph's or A&T or wherever?
Wherever.
Yeah, what's your job? Now that we've
produce
asked you three...
Clerk, sir. Produce clerk.
Produce clerk.
What does that mean exactly?
That means I work up the lettuce.
How you doing, Mrs. Winchester? We got some fine cukes.
What do you do?
Fine cucumbers.
What do you do to that lettuce? Do you oil the cukes?
No, we don't, sir.
We don't, sir. Now he's getting all clammed up now that he's talking about his job. You're the produce clerk, so you must handle the food.
We handle the food.
Oh, my God.
Do you have to wear a hairnet?
No.
How many times do you wash your hands a day?
18 times.
I don't believe you.
Good man. I'm going to pretend that I believe him.
Yeah, yeah, really.
Just so I don't get all oogied out the next time I go in the grocery store.
My salad tastes like copper. You.
But you walk by and you see like a 50-year-old guy out there wanting to load your bags into your car for a dollar.
Hello. I'll help you.
I'll help you.
I read an article. God damn it, I've been reading too much recently.
You have.
I keep remembering things that I read.
All at your mother-in-law's house.
It's a company. No, this one I read here in a real newspaper, not the National Enquirer.
Right.
I wish I could remember the name of the company. It's a company that hires retarded people.
Good.
And when you want the service, they say to you, hey, we hire retarded people. Do you have a problem with that?
Mm-hmm. Do you think there are people that say... Yeah, hell no!
I know what it was. It was in Tony Kornheiser's column in the Washington Post.
Uh-huh.
He wrote that some lawn care place.
That hires retarded people.
Yeah, and they came to his house. Right. And he wrote the newspaper that they said, hey, would you mind if a retarded guy cut your grass? And he said no.
Yeah, probably the work ethic of the retarded people is probably about 500% better than anybody else that they'd hire.
So, I'm just wondering now if they hire retarded guys to be like produce managers.
Do they?
Not that I know of.
Not at your place?
How about to be bag boys?
Not that I know of.
Hmm.
Okay. Hey, I'm not putting you down. I'm just wondering.
No. We have a few older gentlemen that work, you know, in the stores that are hired on.
Are you on the clock? Are you on the clock now?
No.
No.
Do you guys ever goof on the old guys, like the old bag boys? You ever look at them and go, ha-ha, what are they doing out there?
No, because what they've done, they're just supplementing their income is all they're doing, and they need something to do. So.
And they'd probably turn around and laugh right back at you if you did that, right?
Yeah, because they're retired, yeah.
Right, okay.
They work their 20 hours a week, and they go home.
I gotcha. Mm-hmm. That's just another one of the things I wonder, like, at a fast food place.
Mm-hmm.
We were at a fast food place over the weekend that had some grandma working the drive-thru, and she was just the slowest and behind her.
I think that normally when you go into the fast food places, the senior citizens are the best people they have working.
Yeah, they were very slow. Couldn't handle the pressure. And here's how she handled it.
Right.
Everybody that came up to the window,
mm-hmm.
Would you please go park over there? They haven't made the chicken sandwiches yet. You go over there. That's what she said to everybody.
See, and that's not her fault. That's the slackers. That's the 16-year-olds that are hiding in the back with their pimples, and they're back there, and they're not making the fries on time, and the poor, hey, send old Gwen out. Send Gwen out to the front line to tell people that they're not going to get their food.
We did notice that there was this one, really in a grandma type, who was obviously very frazzled, trying to handle the drive-thru. She was doing the thing, talking on the two-way, trying to run her cash register to get the drinks, and behind her, you know, like 20 guys,
sure,
standing around,
right.
just John.
yeah, and she's like, she's the only one that really cares.
That's right.
See, in the fast food places, the senior citizens, when I've walked in there, they are so much more competent and so much more with it than some of the other people that are there, you know, that are doing it like for high school students or for, you know, people that it's their regular job. It's the retired people that, you know, they want to be there. Yeah. They're there by choice.
I think retards could work at McDonald's.
Absolutely. I think they do.
I think retards would probably be real good at drive-through. They'd be able to grasp that and make that their sole goal. Like if you told a retarded guy, your goal is to get everybody their food within 2 minutes,
they go nuts.
And maybe if you gave him like a big clock since he's a retarded guy,
right?
A big clock,
right?
And it would go tick, tick, and count down to 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
There, somebody write that idea down. That's a very deep idea that I just had.
That's why I don't think you're in the right business.
Yeah.
You should be a business consultant.
Management, yeah.
Sell a lot more hamburgers that way.
You know, since you mentioned that big clock, our clocks in here are pretty large.
That's good. We're retarded, Mike. Yeah. You and I could both go work at McDonald's.
That's about as oversized as it gets.
Hello?
Hello?
Same on our telephones.
It's nine.
They'd have to have... You've ever been at Radio Shack where they have the push buttons?
Right, the little
like
buttons.
This big, yeah. They're like 3 inches big, each
sure.
of the buttons for the telephone.
Absolutely, so you can actually dial the phone with your fist.
Well, listen, Mike, the produce guy.
Yes.
What did you want to say here, buddy?
Well, I'm almost lost track now.
Yeah, Helen Hunt, I think.
Yeah, well, it was Helen Hunt, but it was the wording on the magazine that kind of caught my eye.
Okay.
It was like in big black letters, it says, new, easier orgasms.
All right.
Thanks so much. We appreciate it. You keep doing that great work and ogling the women that come into your store.
Thanks, Dr. Kirby.
Bye-bye.
You know, though, I did feel confident with him. That is a normal activity. If you're a guy, say, 24,
sure.
and you're working in the grocery store, it makes me feel better. That, you know, what other activity would you do in there?
I used to know guys in high school who worked at grocery stores, mm-hmm. and these were guys who loved it because it was unionized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they said, listen, once you get this job, screw college, screw anything else. I'm going to work at this grocery store until I'm however old, because guys never get fired in the grocery store if you're into the union.
Strongest unions in America.
Yeah. Hello?
What's up, guys?
Hey, Don and Mike Show.
I got a washed-up celebrity. Luke Perry, you think?
Who?
Luke Perry. Beverly Hills 90210, remember?
Oh, no, I like Luke Perry.
And isn't he still doing the show?
Yeah, and that show's still on the air. Luke Perry does movies and stuff.
Bad movies.
8 seconds.
Oh, yeah, he does bad movies. You know who would be good on a Love Boat is Pauly Shore.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get a lot of those washed-up comedians that would be good on it.
Hello, Donna Mike.
I'm a vet.
Pardon me?
I'm a vet.
You're a vet like veterinarian or a veteran of war?
No, snip, snip, vasectomy.
Oh, I gotcha.
Hmm.
So, your wife gave you one, huh?
Yeah. Well,
you go to a doctor and she used the home kit.
I went to a doctor last Labor Day, so I could sit around and watch football all weekend. It worked out well. But...
That's a big sacrifice to pay to be able to watch a whole weekend of football.
Well...
Have your balls cut off.
You ever meet guys that talk about their vasectomy that will actually mention it? I've met... I don't know how many total, but I have heard of guys that say... Yeah, well, when I had my vasectomy...
Ken Stevens.
Oh.
No, I've also met guys who announce it to you.
Like yeah. it's a badge of honor.
Like one of the first things, you're like, hey,
yeah.
Don Geronimo, nice to meet you. I had a vasectomy 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. No, I met guys like that.
And it weirds me out that they want to just share it with the world. Yeah, I had a vasectomy.
It's like
and then they always
hard on your license plate.
You ever met a guy who says that to you, and then a couple of minutes later he'll come back and he'll say to you, mm-hmm. it's reversible, though.
Yeah.
I've had guys say that to
right.
me.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
As if when they walk away, you think, hey, he can't do it anymore.
Right. If a doctor is capable of tying and untying his shoes, he can do that procedure.
Well, the worst part was, you know, just being uncomfortable because of you're insecure about size, you know? And this it was a Chinese doctor, and he goes...
What do you mean uncomfortable about
size? Well, you're saying uncomfortable about size, so that's
yeah.
the worst part. I mean, you're small, and so that's the worst part of the procedure?
You shouldn't worry if you're in front of a Chinese guy.
Well, listen...
Chinese guys are tiny.
Mm-hmm. So I'm real uptight about it, you know, about getting this done.
Hey, that's a true story. That's a true story.
And he goes,
Chinese guys are very small in that way.
I like it when you say that, too.
Yeah.
You almost sell yourself, don't you?
Yeah.
Hey, that's a true story. Yes, all Chinese guys are small.
I've heard that, Mike. Teeny weenies.
It could happen.
That's a true story.
I'm
from
really...
the Dynamite True Files.
Yeah, right.
And he says, you relax. This am no big deal. And I was like, don't insult me, dude. And he showed me his, and everything worked out fine.
My crap detector is going
yeah,
off.
About 8 times.
Mm-hmm. Right. You're lying.
He didn't show me his. I mean,
you're lying.
Everything up to that point is true.
I only hope that someone gives you a vasectomy someday, sir. We have our lines open for people who really want to talk about the burning issues of today. Charo.
I'll show you my scar.
No, we'll pass on that.
Thank you.
Because it's not from a vasectomy. It's probably from too much scratching.
Hello, Don and Mike Show from overuse. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
You're doing great, thank you.
This is Dusty.
Hi, Dusty.
You call a lot, don't you, Dusty?
No, I don't.
I remember Dusty. Dusty's the guy that we gave the penis enlarger to, speaking of penises. Isn't that true, Dusty?
It's working great.
That's great, Dusty. You happy with the product?
I'm real happy with it.
So you really use that tube? That
sure, I'm up to 3.5 inches.
Really? Fantastic, Dusty.
Up to from what? From a nub? Inverted penis.
He had a little mushroom cap there, and now 3.5 inches. Way to go, Dusty.
Hey, I got a celebrity for you.
You're almost as big as Jackie Chan now. I can't think of any other famous Japanese guy.
Chinese?
Same thing,
I know.
Yeah, okay, what, Dusty?
I got a celebrity for you.
For what?
J.J. Walker.
No, I'd much rather talk about the penis enlarger that you won from us. Did it come in a plain brown wrapper?
It sure did.
Tell me what happened. Tell me the range of emotions you went through when you saw that the package had actually arrived from us.
No, I couldn't wait to get it home.
Way to go, Dusty.
You know, when you wanted the penis enlarger, you were a lot more talkative, Dusty.
Yeah.
You were full of life. We couldn't get you to shut up.
No, I don't talk a lot.
And you call quite often, Dusty.
This is about the fourth time I've called.
That would be a lot.
Yeah.
Does it hurt when you put it on?
It looks like a big hickey.
Do you use the pump or do you attach it to a vacuum cleaner?
Vacuum cleaner.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good man. Listen, I tell you what. The next time you call, we're not going to take your call unless you're actually hooked up to the penis enlarger with the vacuum cleaner so we can hear it working on you.
All right.
Okay?
Good deal.
That'll make sure the next time your call is a little more entertaining.
All right.
Thank you, Dusty.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Dusty.
He wanted that product. He wanted that product very badly.
Yes, he did.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hey.
How you doing?
Doing great, thanks.
Is this Don or Mike?
Both of us.
Both of you.
Yes, we're both here. It's the magic of radio.
I see. I've been listening to you guys ever since the Wavo days.
Oh, thank you.
And you guys do a great job. Anyone who turns up to insult you, screw the hell out of them. That's what I say.
Yeah,
thank you.
Way to go, young man.
No problem.
How old are you?
I'm 25.
Are you retarded?
No.
Working on it?
Why?
Just curious.
Where do you work? Are you calling us from work?
Yes, I am.
Produce department?
Huh?
Produce department?
McDonald's?
No, I work in a Radio Shack.
You're a nerd then.
Really?
Yes, I am.
You work in a Radio Shack?
Yeah. What do you want to know?
Tell me how DVD works.
DVD?
Yeah.
Well,
tell me everything. I'll give you another one. Uh-huh. Let's say I want to buy a CB radio. Do you still sell CB radios?
Yes, we do.
What can you tell me about CB radios?
They got a 2-mile radius.
This is why when I'm going shopping for electronic components, I'm always excited to meet the first salesperson I'll see.
Yeah.
Do you actually work with customers?
Yes, I do.
Now, you're not on commission, right?
Yes, you are.
Well, how are you supporting yourself, then?
Oh, no, it's a miracle.
What's the last product you sold today? Did you sell anything to
anybody today? A phone.
A phone?
Yeah.
Tell us about the best UHF, VHF antenna you sell.
Oh, it's $30.
Thanks for elaborating on that.
No problem.
All right. Thank you.
Hey.
Yeah.
When are you going to have one of those kinky shows again?
What kinky show? You mean the Las Vegas style show?
Yeah, I guess. The strip poker thing.
Oh, strip trivia. That's coming soon.
How soon?
Very soon. Tell me about telephones. Let's say I want to buy a cordless telephone. Let me hear your pitch. What do you have? Storekeep, what do you have?
What about one of those cellular one or Sprint PCS phones?
No, he would like a cordless telephone. He's not looking for a cell phone.
Cordless.
Cordless?
Right, yes. That's what I said, a cordless phone.
Yeah, the 900 megahertz cordless phones.
Yes, tell us about
where
that
you can
one.
Stand on, you can go up to 1,000 feet. And you're
He's
here.
Big on the radius. That's
right.
Good.
Yeah.
What kind of warranty do I get with that?
What kind of warranty?
Yeah.
All kinds.
I have another Radio Shack question for you. How long do you have to suck on the batteries before you get the brain damage?
What, 6 years?
6 years. You're not the manager there, are you?
No.
No.
You're not even an assistant manager, are you?
I'm just a salesperson.
Hey, is your manager there? We'd like to give him a tip of the Don and Mike hat. You're right on track, man. You're our salesman of the month.
We always like to give business leaders credit for good hires.
Oh, really?
Yeah, is your boss there?
No, he's upstairs. Yeah.
Can you transfer us to him?
No, I can't.
Upstairs? We just want to... Is this a 2-floor Radio Shack?
Yeah, no. It's on different sections of the mall.
Oh, he's upstairs at the mall.
Do they sell radon gas detectors?
No.
You don't?
No.
What's the newest and most innovative and exciting product that Radio Shack has for sale today?
The Sprint PCS phones.
Oh, the cell phones.
And the compact Bizarro.
The what?
The compact Bizarro.
The compact what?
Pizarro.
Pizarro?
Yeah.
What's a Pizarro?
The computers.
Are you speaking about a cousin of yours, or is this a new product?
No, this is the product. You know, it's a compact Pizarro computers.
Oh.
Are your pants pulled all the way down by the crack of your behind? How are you dressed?
The what?
Are you wearing those big bell-bottom jeans that totally cover your shoes?
No.
How are you dressed? What are you wearing?
I'm wearing a black slacks, a button shirt, a tie.
What's that, a button shirt?
Yeah.
What color is it also black, the button shirt?
No.
What color is it?
I wore a black shirt one day. They said company policy doesn't allow that. So
you have to wear, are you wearing a light colored shirt?
Strict policy, Mike, at Radio Show.
And important. I admire them for that. I really do.
White and blue.
And you have facial hair, right?
Huh?
Do you have facial hair?
He's trying.
I shave.
You shave?
Yes, I do. I shaved since the seventh grade.
Really?
Congratulations. What are you? Must be Arabian or something, right?
I'm Persian.
Persian, same thing.
Right.
Do you have any? The same thing.
Do you have any sideburns or mustaches?
No, I clean shave.
You clean shave?
Yeah.
Everywhere?
No, just my face.
Yeah. Just your face.
Would you lie? Do you guys want to see down there or something?
Do we want to
you
see
guys
that?
Want to see down there?
Oh, my God. It's developed into a battle of wits.
No, we don't want to see down there.
Good. I want to show it to you guys anyway.
Well, that's right. Good. We can all agree on that one.
All right. Well, here's today's Don and Mike, young executive on the fast track to success. And what's your first name?
Am I on radio right now?
Yes. What is your first name?
It's Abu, Don. It's Abu.
No, my name is Ali.
Ali.
Round of applause for Ali. You've got questions, he's got answers.
Don and Mike, junior executive of the day.
A junior achiever, Don.
I'm basically looking for new options in my life.
Yeah, because, you know, you're not probably intellectually stimulated enough to stay at the radio show.
How long can a guy sell batteries?
How long, what?
How long until you burn out on selling D-cell batteries?
D-cell batteries?
Once you have memorized the inventory.
I don't sell batteries all the time. Mm-hmm. I mostly sell phones. I'm like one of their good salesmen here.
You're one of their good salesmen?
Yeah.
All right, sell us a phone.
Really?
Hold on, be serious with me for a second. You're one of these retarded guys that they farm out to work during the day, right? There's nothing wrong with it. Sounds to me like you really got your heart in your work.
You're telling me there's 250 million retarded people in this country go to work from 9 to 5 every day, do nothing all day?
No. I'm just talking about you.
Oh, okay.
The possibility that you might be retarded.
No.
Okay. You're their best salesman?
Pretty much.
You're pretty much, or are you? I mean, you know, if you're a best salesman...
Sometimes I'm first place, sometimes I'm second place.
Anyway,
you know.
Good. Man, oh man. And,
it depends, you know.
I take it back then. You're no retard. You're sharp as a tack.
What's the most expensive thing you can buy in Radio Shack?
The computer.
The computer?
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, young man. Charge on. Seize the day. Make it a great Ali day.
I'll try.
Right on.
Hey, where are you guys located?
We're located in beautiful Fairfax, Virginia.
Why is that, Ali?
Why do you want to know,
thinking
Ali?
Thinking about coming down here and axing us?
Huh? No, I'm not a terrorist.
What, you wanted to know where we're located. Why is that, Ali?
Why not?
Why not?
Oh, so is that...
Ali?
This is taking a bit of an ugly turn.
No, I don't
know.
What?
I
live in Falls Church. Yeah. I mean, not very far.
Yeah. I think you're wrong. I don't think this guy's bright enough.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Right.
What's your IQ?
I know, about 75, about same as fourth, though.
And I come in at about a 72, 73.
Okay.
What is yours, Ali?
I don't know. I think it's off the charts somewhere.
Off the charts?
I don't know. That's a great answer to an IQ question.
All right. Well, Ali, listen. Thanks for calling. I believe you originally called to say how much you love the show. Mm-hmm.
And I think we've enhanced the friendship, haven't we?
Ali, you the man.
Yeah, you guys.
Keep kicking ass at Radio Shack.
I'll try.
Big future for you.
You come down and visit us anytime you want, Ali. We always like to meet new fans.
Okay, sure. No problem.
All right.
I'm one of your old-timer fans.
Good for you. Way to go, Ali.
Very good. Please don't come down here and try to stab us with an axe. Thank you, Ali.
I don't carry weapons on me.
Good man.
Way to go, Ali. You're a peace.
10 fingers and 10 toes.
There you go. You're a peace lover.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Listen, I'd like to applaud Radio Shack for hiring retarded people. Not a lot of people will do that, but I'm going out on a limb to say, way to go.
I would now like to do my impression of Ali selling Don a phone.
Yeah, I'd like to buy a phone, please.
20 feet.
You think he was really working at Radio Shack?
Yeah. I sure do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hello? Not a mic. Hello?
And I believe him also when he said, he comes in as their first salesman once in a while.
Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike show.
Hey, two questions for you. Number one, make it combined. One, whatever happened to Johnny A-Hole? And two, do you think Brian Gumbel could be the clone of Johnny A-Hole?
No funny man.
Johnny A-Hole was something we did, like, very briefly, and it was, it comes and it goes.
Johnny A-Hole was like the nice Bush of its day.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of what it was. It was a saying in those, those come and go.
Are you trying to relate the fact you think Brian Gumbel is an A-Hole?
Well, I think that it would be funny to hear him.
Oh, you're another one of the guys who don't like enough what we do. You have to try to call and tell us what to do.
No.
Where were you when I was talking to the retarded guy from Radio Shack? But I could have used a hand. Now you got to call.
Laughing my ass off.
Now you got to call.
All right.
Don't try to fix it.
Goodbye. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Yeah, how's it going?
Hey, great.
Yeah, we're kind of rough on Ali, don't you think?
I thought we had a wonderful discussion with Ali.
I had a good time listening to it, too, but the guy was retarded. I mean, you have to...
No, he wasn't.
You call
him retarded.
Yeah. Oh, Mike, hold on. That's my bit. That's my good bit I got going today. Don't say enough of that. But you called and you said we were kind of rough on him, and then 2 seconds later you say he's retarded.
Well, that's the S&M side of me, I guess. I enjoyed it, but...
All right, dick.
Okay.
You're retarded, sir.
Ali was a perfectly normal individual with no handicaps. He was just a little slow.
Retard. Hello?
Hello?
Not a mic. Hello?
Want to speak to Don and Mike?
Yeah, hi.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
I work with individuals with developmental disabilities.
Okay, hello. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes. Are you there?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
That's interesting when somebody says yes, and then a total pause. We wouldn't have hung up on you when you just said yes.
Please forgive me. I just wanted to know, had you seen the Fox advertising, the Bob Crane special, and it's like his 20th anniversary of his death?
I have not seen that.
And
although he was retarded, Colonel Hogan was.
But it was Bob Crane. But what was so interesting
That's it. I just made an executive decision I should have made about 5 minutes ago.
All right.
All right?
Yes.
Okay, let's take a quick commercial break. Or should we take another telephone call?
Let's take another call.
Just one more. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hey, this is Rob, and I'd like to speak to them, if I could, about a low-budget Jeopardy that was pre-recorded when the guy had the seizures or something like that.
Right. We ran it a couple of weeks ago when we were on vacation.
Yeah. I just want to know how the guy ended up, if they ever were able to get through.
He's dead.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right.
It was a good idea to take one more telephone call.
That's why you listen to every single program.
We will be right back.
WJFK.
He came from somewhere in her long ago at WABC, the Doobie Brothers, bringing back some old memories at 810 WABC Music Time at 75 degrees. I'm George Michael, and I want to make you a winner. Are you ready? Second caller, 212-955-9222, will win a pair of tickets to the hit Broadway show. Now, let's make you a winner. We bring you your great summer of music on WABC with you, Z.
Push, push in the bunch. George Michael, WABC.
Shake it all down to the ground at WABC at 8:18 with George Michael. On Monday evening, I would like to turn back the hands of time. What a good record this is. John, Paul, George, and Ringo, and a note of optimism. Beyond the horizon, there is sunshine.
Here comes the sun.
From WABC, the music of Chic, and What I Want Is Your Love, and you're saying, didn't Dan Ingram just play that before the news? Dan played about half of it, or a little over. He said, you can
pick up what's left, you know, play it on your show. That's the story of my life, folks. I always get the leftovers of Ingram. You got to try working, following him, and try to get some money, some paycheck after he's taken his course. You are still the one at WABC. It's the music of Orleans at 6:10 Monday evening. Start of a brand new week. Society for the Prevention of a Blue Monday. Weatherman's going to give us a little cooperation. We're going to get some good weather for you tomorrow. Low humidity, lots of sun. Lucky tonight. Are you up for that? Yeah, big smile. I thought so. It was a tough weekend. Well, here we go. Seventh caller, 212-955-9222. You will win a pair of tickets to KISS in concert in Madison Square Garden, July 24th, furnished by Ron Delsner Enterprises. Let's make you a winner tonight. Sister Sledge, we are all family. 803, Monday in New York at WABC, and Billy Martin is officially back. I told you that would happen Saturday night, didn't I? Trust me. Ah, yes. I thought this was the right song to play with it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chicago! From WABC, the music of Chicago. Memories of the way it used to be in the old days at 8:07 Monday in New York. Start of a brand new week with George Michael. All the things that a fool in love believes. Featuring the talent of Mike McDonald, the mix of Jim Burgess, the Doobie Brothers.
The Don and Mike Show.
Always the exception to every rule ever made. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
The management of WJFK has decided that while ongoing negotiations continue, we will bring you the best of the Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike will be back live soon. Thank you for listening.
Let me just take a couple of seconds here to talk about the big party that the station had on Friday night, which was, I guess, the last time we talked to you.
The station had a party Friday night?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was there. Yes, of course.
Listen, I'm not going to badmouth the place. I think we did enough of that on Friday.
Yeah.
Without naming the place. It's an okay place.
Yeah. It's fine.
You know, if you're like Rudy and you don't mind eating dog food.
Right.
It's a great restaurant.
Oh.
All I know is that it's supposed to be a moment of triumph for the people that work at this radio station.
Mm-hmm. And here we were again, crammed into a too small space.
Oh, and they couldn't even get a private area. You know, I walked into the bar and there aren't like biker guys sit at the bar.
I like to call them surly regulars, Don. Surly regulars that were at the bar, and we were in their space, and they didn't appreciate it.
You know what? I can't fault them.
No.
But we were the ones that were out of place, intruding on their quietest of areas.
Struck me as a neighborhood bar where people like to hang on a regular basis, and there was one lady in particular that made a lot of trips up off her bar stool through the crowd with the same look every time, like, what are you people doing here?
What a horrible thing to say.
So, you know, all the biker chicks and all the biker guys, and a lot of them looked like construction guys, big guys that would just, you know, love to just beat a disc jockey, you know, so you couldn't even recognize his beautiful face anymore.
For sport.
Right.
Just to watch him die.
Right. You know, just because disc jockeys are pretty boys.
Sure. Just pummel them into submission.
So we go over to this place, and, you know, you heard us talking about it on Friday. Not a popular move with the members on the staff. Definitely a cost-cutting move.
Right.
By the Ayatollah of rock and roller, the very evil skin-tagged Ken Stevens.
Yes, it was a last-second replacement, and it was cost-effective.
So we get over there, and I mean, you walk in, and you're right that every eye in the room is on you, and it's all these people. It's like you walked into Cheers.
Yeah.
You know, if the regulars at Cheers were a lot dirtier and scuzzier,
and nobody wanted to know our name, they wanted us to leave. That's kind of the vibe that I got in there.
So you walk, and you know who was really flipping me out? The guy with the shaved head.
Yeah, up at the bar.
The guy with the shaved head. Who at first, I thought, when I first walked in, I thought, well, I really thought this. I won't think badly of him. I won't be afraid of him because he looks like one of the kindly chaps that draws for Mad Magazine. Right? He had that look about him, right?
Right.
But I saw as the night went on, he was really steamed that all the people from the radio station
were
in there in his area.
You got a lot of people, you know, you got salespeople for the radio station, you got people that are on the air. We are people who don't have problems, you know,
walking into a situation where we're unwelcome. You know, salespeople for radio, they're used to being unwelcome wherever they go.
Yeah.
And for us, you know, we don't have the presence of mind to even care. So we all just, we take it over. We steamrolled into this joint.
So once I decided that I should be scared of this guy, you know, because I guess he's not friendly like a guy who draws cartoons for a living, I retreated to the corner of the room, wasn't drinking, having my diet soda. As a matter of fact, who would have thought this?
Mm-hmm.
Of everybody in the room, me and Mike were the only guys that weren't drinking.
We were teetotaling.
Oh, I didn't.
I had a Coke.
We were sitting in the... Yeah. Well, you never do, though, Buzz. You don't count. So we're sitting in the corner of the room. Me and Mike just having our diet beverages together.
Really awkward, just standing there, you know, for a moment, just really realizing, because we are not engaging in the festivities, just how awful this party really is.
And we were standing in the corner, and I said, you know, those guys at the bar are really pissed. You don't get those guys at the bar.
Yeah, very angry.
Then they started looking around, and we saw a couple of the sales guys laughing and being goofy.
What a horrible thing to say.
Yes, I know, Bernard. It was awful. And then at this point, Mike and I haven't said a word to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We're just kind of minding our own business.
Yeah, I mean, we're standing there just hanging and talking to whoever wants to come up and chat.
The hostess with the mostest, Brumhilda.
Boy.
This lady that I guess is the manager of the place. A lady's got a linebacker shoulders, okay?
Mm-hmm, yeah, big woman.
A big, big corn-fed woman.
Wide woman.
Big birth and hips.
Yes, large.
So she comes over.
She whisks over on her broom.
And now keep in mind, it's me and Mike, and I think Rob is standing there.
Right.
I think like maybe one of the sales geeks is standing there. We're just talking.
Right.
She comes over and she goes, Don and Mike, right? I said, yeah.
Hi.
There's some people in the restaurant that want to meet you. And I said, well, why would anybody even know that we're here? I mean, I know that we talked about the place, but we didn't name the place.
No, and we
didn't name the night.
Even
Jack, we didn't name the night.
There's one thing she did. She named the night.
You can't get pregnant with a Polaroid, Jack. So, you know, I don't mind, Sally, you know, you didn't say that. I'm the one that said, I said, no, I feel weird about that. I said, I'm not going to go walk through the restaurant and
disrupt.
Well,
I agreed with you. I mean,
people's dinners.
We were sitting there. We're standing there. And it's one of those deals. We're off. It's the party time. We're hanging. We're not drinking. We're not celebrating. But we're standing with our coworkers, and we want to hang with our coworkers. Mm-hmm. We don't want to walk through the crowded restaurant and walk over to the table. So what I said to the lady, I said, no, we don't want to do that. I said, but why don't you go get them and bring them over here? Bring them into the party. We'd love to meet them. And
sure. Brumhilda didn't like that.
She didn't like that.
Ooh,
she felt that after, you know, the invasion of privacy, that she would rather drag us through the crowded restaurant and, you know, the alternative of having them come over and just say hi.
Yeah.
Even though she agreed to it, she was not happy about it.
We like seeing people. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
The people that listen to our show, for God's sakes, are the people that we want to say hello to.
Well, and I also don't think that we were copping an attitude with this lady in any way, shape, or form. We said, no, we
as
don't want
to. As opposed to Brumhilda.
We don't want to go through the restaurant, but bring them over. We, you know, come on over, bring them over. And she's
fine.
Like,
so we're sitting there a couple more minutes. Then she comes over. And she brings the, very nice, two very nice, you know, like, they look like Elaine from Seinfeld. They're just working gals.
Yeah, we're ready to meet these people. And she
brings them over and she goes, here's the two stuck-up guys that wouldn't come to meet you.
Yeah. Well, intro. Well, right? That, you know, not only did she approach us, did she come up to us, but then she lays that on us.
Sure. And now, at this point, we've got the two ladies standing in front of us. And we said, listen, hold on just a second. We say to Brumhilda, hey, wait a minute.
And she's walking away at this point after her nasty little comment. And then she says something that I didn't hear. And I was really that close just to going over and getting into it with her. But she was out the door because she said something like,
she did that thing. You know when someone's walking away and talking about you in a bar, especially, you can get away with it. But she was looking back and giving us the hairy eyeball.
Saying really something nasty and then was through the door. And I said, excuse me? And she heard me say that. And she still continued to go through the door after she brought the people over.
So then now we're stuck with these people. Yeah.
Very nice people.
Very nice, but, you know, it's like now they've seen kind of a little mini scene.
It's awkward.
So then we said,
Most of it on the part of the lady that works there, because we really didn't cop much of a scene.
We said, listen, you know, we would love to meet you. It's just we feel awkward at, you know, first being in here, busting in these other people on their bar night.
Right.
And we didn't know that you guys were out there, and we didn't want to disrupt anybody's dinner. And they stood there for a second. And then it reached that point when it was just the four of us just staring at each other.
I said, well, nice to meet you. Thanks for listening to the show. We really appreciate it. And they seemed satisfied, and they were on their way. You know, it reminds me, have you ever seen the Elvis movie? It's one of my favorite Elvis movies, where Elvis goes into the diner, and the guy is sitting over at the booth, and he wants to make Elvis sing, and then Elvis finally gets up and sings, and then they have the big bar fight afterwards. Well, the big, tall guy that makes Elvis sing was this manager, because she didn't want to have
Are you saying we're Elvis?
No, I'm saying that there's
That is a horrible, thing to say.
But it's like this lady, it was not getting her customers to come over and say hi. Yeah. It was the power trip that she wanted to do by dragging us through the restaurant. Yeah. And when she didn't get that satisfaction, she wasn't happy. No. It was her little trip.
And I told Mike, I'll say, I also think she was mad because, listen, we weren't thrilled about going there.
No, we didn't say a lot of nice things about it. We never mentioned the place by name, but we didn't say anything very nice about the place.
Dog food. Dog food with salsa. That's what they served a lot of.
Yeah.
So then, you know, it was a very pedestrian party, and Mike left before anybody did. That shows you how bad the party was.
You know it's a bad party when I leave first.
I will just give a momentary shout-out to a gal who, as a matter of fact, was right here under our bright lights. On Friday's episode, office manager Miss Bobby. Okay? Listen. For those of you who maybe have come into contact with Bobby over the years and thought that perhaps she enjoys her position being the knowing-all, being-all, seeing-all manager of the station.
The power broker.
I'm here to tell you that whatever died and crawled up her butt died again and came back out on Friday night. Because you want to talk about someone who was letting their hair down.
She was having a pretty good time.
Uh-huh.
She was having a very good time.
Here's what she did that just cracked me up. I'm standing there at the bar having my diet soda. I'm talking to Miss Bobby and I'm talking to, I don't know, someone else. And there's four or five of them standing there. And over the corner is this annoying sales guy, Jeff Frinsky, who's
right.
I know we've mentioned him before. You think he might be violently insane. He's very much like Tom Arnold.
Right.
That same very annoying, hey!
Yeah, he's in your face. He's 2 inches away from your face. He'd rather,
hey, what are you doing?
He would not want to have a conversation where he stays out of your personal space. He wants to sit on your right shoulder. He'd straddle your right shoulder, just look down at you and go, what's happening?
Really, really annoying. So he was giving me the look. Okay, I'm trying to talk to these other people, and he's sticking his head around and going, hey, what are you doing? Where's Mike? Where's Mike though? Where's Rob? Hey, where you got? What are you doing? You want to play foosball? So he's like, just annoying me. He turned his head, and I took an ice cube out of my diet soda, and I whipped it across the room, and I banged him right in the head with it. Now, it was perfect.
Good shot.
Because he didn't know who had shot the ice cube. Because everybody hates Jeff Frinsky.
What a horrible thing to do.
Yeah,
what a horrible thing to say.
So it's not like I was immediately had the spotlight on me. Right, everybody hates Frinsky. So he looks around the room and he's wondering who it is that did this to him.
And the act of throwing an ice cube in our group, I mean, that's nothing. Nothing. That's nothing at all.
Nothing.
At this point, then Bobby, our business manager, she thought that looked like fun.
Right.
And she picked up my entire drink, diet soda, and she went, hey, Jeff. And whoosh, she tossed it all on him.
Oh!
She just drenched him.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a horrible thing to say.
She was having a good time. She was having a very good time.
God. Now that almost made the night worthwhile.
Sure, when you can get anybody doing something like that, you know it's good.
Yeah.
That they weren't supposed to do.
Right.
Amazing.
And then I heard that other stuff went on after I left that, like,
it continued on a little bit?
More people, I don't want to say any names, but more people throwing more stuff at more people.
You know, the morale. Questionable morale when things begin to get thrown.
Including our very own Charles Broyhill, who, you know, very rarely drinks.
Right. Yes.
True.
But was drinking heavily on Friday night, drinking like girl drinks. Drinking
That doesn't matter with him.
Like Slurpee, the Slurpee-type drinks?
He will, if he's doing it. You know, the last time I remember him having anything to drink was at my bachelor party.
Yeah.
And at the end of the evening, he was on top of the limousine, sitting Indian style, going 55 miles an hour down the highway. And that's when the cop pulled us over, and that's when the evening ended.
Here's a guy who just doesn't drink.
He doesn't drink. When he does, I mean, he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah. Hey, Charles Broyhill? I call him as my next witness.
Drinking those foo-foo drinks, huh?
Yeah, with a big long, like, bendy straw. Like the kind of straw you get if you're sick at the hospital or something like that.
He was ready to blow off a little steam.
Where's he at?
Is he around anywhere?
And, you know, he's so unsociable to begin with. I can't imagine. I didn't get to stay there to witness him under the influence of a couple of tropical drinks. But I'd like to know.
Where were you, Greenbelt?
Yeah, I was. In those situations, in those rare situations where you let your hair down and have a drink, do you become a nicer guy or do you retreat more into your tortoise-like shell?
It depends. It goes through a phase. I come out of my shell a little bit, but then the more I have, the more I just sit by myself. I ended up the night playing paper football.
You did.
Yeah.
I guess you didn't miss anything by leaving, Don. I guess you didn't miss anything at the end of the evening.
Were there any more tossed drinks?
A lot of tossed drinks.
Really?
Yes.
It was a drink throw. It was a drink fight.
Yeah, it was mostly Miss Bobby who was throwing everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really? So she threw more drinks than just Don's Diet Coke.
Oh, many more.
Many more.
Many more.
Many more.
Yeah.
Who were the,
what a horrible thing to say.
who was she throwing drinks at?
Just anybody who was nearby. Didn't matter.
Reason being?
She was drunk.
She's not afraid of a biker. There's Mr. Broyhill. Always the delicate handling of the situation.
Oh, now her phone is busy.
Oh, dear.
Or it's off the hook and she's in the fetal position under her desk.
Well, you know, at the office party, you always need one person to have a better time than anybody else, and that's good. I'm glad it was her.
So you were the last official person with the show to leave.
Yes, I was.
What time did you end up leaving?
About midnight.
About midnight?
Wow, that's a good long time. Were you feeling okay?
I was fine. Like I said, I was playing paper football for probably an hour. And then after that...
Not much stimulus required for Charlie Broyhill.
No, then we started playing basketball with a quarter.
A simple sheet of paper folded in that special way.
You know what? Can we go on the road this time?
Mm-hmm.
I want to play... Oh, get out of here, Charles. I want to talk about you. I want to play a game. We'll have Charles, like, in an airport.
Okay.
Sitting and reading a newspaper.
Right.
I don't know exactly how the game will work, but I bet that if you did an informal poll of people and said to them, there's one retarded guy sitting over here by gate 28, he would be the one that you would spot, right?
Yes.
Now, I don't know exactly how you do that. You stop Mr. and Mrs. Traveler.
Well, you tell the people at the gate, you know, the gate attendants, you know, could you please get him for us? They immediately go to him in the crowded airport. Yes. I see your point exactly.
I don't know exactly how that would work, but...
Maybe give him a little tiny table to play paper football on, just with himself going back and forth and back and forth.
Do you think he would sit? Do you think you would sit there with some kind of a can or something that says, help those in need?
Please help. Please help. He'd get a lot of takers,
sure. Do you think so?
Well, people, I think, walking by, you put him in the right environment, and people would immediately think that he had some sort of challenge.
Well, keep in mind that one time, did we do an experiment with you, Rob, where we sent you out as a homeless guy to see how much money you could get with a sign on the street?
Yeah, we had free lunch the whole rest of the week, all three of us. Made a lot of money.
All right, well, maybe when we go out to San Diego this week, we'll do that experiment with Charles Broyhill.
He's ready for some sort of experiment. You know, he's been on the road with us now a couple of times. He needs the experiment.
WJFK.
Here's your current forecast from the National Weather Service.
It's going to be windy tonight. A good chance to stay inside and have hot chocolate. And if you put a fire on, you can toast marshmallows. Because the snow will be coming down just like Christmas. And then once it falls, you can go out and go sledding. Because we're supposed to get some snow.
Thank you for listening to the forecast.
Bye.
Yeah, WCXS 94.5, Fairfax, Virginia, also Warner Cable 27. How y'all doing out there? The Tom Gavin Show right here. Fairfax, Virginia, it's snowing out there. Guys, watch the road. It's icy. It is icy out there, guys. Give us a call, 560-55. We're going to have Incredible Johnson coming on next after these commercials. We're going to be running some PSAs.
Fairfax Annandale Western, 94.5 WCXS, Fairfax, Virginia.
Yes, that's right. WCXS 94.5, Fairfax, Virginia. Also, Warner Cable 27. How y'all doing out there, guys? Today is my anniversary on my show today. give me a call, 560-55-56055. WCXS 94.5, Fairfax, Virginia. Also, Warner Cable 27. How y'all doing out there? I got a special request. The people over at WNVT, Channel 53 and 56. Fred just called in. Give us a call back, Fred, if you need any more requests. Yeah, hey y'all doing out there? This is the Tom Gavin Show. Everybody over there at Channel 53 can call 560-55-56055.
The Don and Mike Show.
That night was my son's birthday party. My wife invites the priest. He's always at the house.
Hey, Tony.
Hi, Don.
You like creme anglaise?
Hey, you bless it, I'll eat it.
She's not coming. No. Grandma just said. Started crying and hung up.
She needs a purpose in life.
No, your mother is tougher than you think. So what, no f***ing DD now?
Hey! Clean your radio with their intoxicating aroma. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
The management of WNA
is my son's birthday party.
Ongoing negotiations continue. We will bring you the best of the Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike will be back live soon. Thank you for listening.
Jack Lemmon has the biggest phony teeth in all of Hollywood.
Right.
Bigger than Regis Philbin's. Bigger than... Who did we decide last week has bad... Bigger than Gene Hackman in Get Shorty.
That's right.
Yeah. That guy's got some fake teeth happening. Yes, hello, Robes B-Wack.
Bigger than Ed McMahon.
Nobody's bigger than Ed McMahon.
Okay.
He's got the biggest and the sharpest.
He's also got that facelift happening.
That's right.
Bigger than Dennis Miller. That's who we were talking about last week that had the big fake teeth.
Huge, huge fake choppers.
I like Jack Lemmon fine, but he's an actor who should just let himself go to pot like the rest of us do.
Well, I think if he had done that, he would have been, he would have looked something awful maybe 20 years ago.
Well, let it happen, Jack, because now you look just ridiculous.
It worked for Matt, though. I mean, he's like Gravity Take Its Toll.
He looks like Phyllis Diller. I saw Phyllis Diller one time on TV where she said, they were talking about her facelifts.
Right.
And she said, well, what they do is they take the skin and they pull it all up and they tie it like in a little knot on top of your head.
Right.
And she took off her wig. And she showed everybody.
Showed
and she
the looked, scars.
And looked gross. You remember the last Star Trek movie where there was a Lady Borg?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Remember how her head looked?
Oh, is that high up? Huh?
Yeah, that's how Phyllis Diller looked. Yeah. And I imagine that's the same way that Jack Lemmon looks. Because his skin on his face is pulled back so tightly. And those big, fake teeth.
On Phyllis Diller, you can actually see a scar on her forehead that used to be on her knee.
Hello. Wow. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
There she is.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
This is the cucumber lady I called last week.
Oh, yes, you were enjoying yourself with a cucumber.
Oh, this lady was naked, laying in bed, and she had a variety of vegetable items.
And love oils, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I can't help it. I love it, you know? I mean, I'm just a free spirit.
But as it turns out, we were, for whatever reason, we were busy with something else.
Y'all were doing the, where y'all were rating the girls 1 to 10?
Oh, rating women.
Yeah. And I guess that was a little bit more important than me and my cucumber, so I just decided to call back today.
Are you still naked?
Oh, sure am.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? And did we ever find out the celebrity you most resemble?
A younger Bette Midler, and y'all was asking how young. I really, just sort of facial features, facial features is, that's about it.
What about body-wise?
36, 24, 37.
Really?
Well, I like golf applause.
There you go.
Hey, I want to tell y'all that I'm really a really big fan of y'all's. I started working about 3 months ago to drive cars for this company down here in Greenville, South Carolina.
You test drive automobiles?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, a crash test driver?
No, just test drives for tires and stuff.
You don't have those like little black and white circles on the side of your forehead, do you? You're not like one of those crash test dummies.
Oh, no, not me.
Do you remember that group?
Where'd they go?
Back to Canada.
Who knows where they went? How did that song go? And it was real, real weird. Like, yeah.
Johnny's walking down the street. Now here comes a big truck going to hit him.
Our tribute.
Hey, I got a question for y'all.
Our tribute to the crash test dummies.
What do you seriously do when you, what do you just test drive them, see if they're running okay?
Yeah, we just, like, we work with Michelin, the tires. Mm-hmm. We just test drive tires. We just run them constantly, 24 hours a day. We have two shifts right now.
You're not like one of those Nudniks in the Saturn commercials, are you?
Oh, no.
I know they're good cars and all. You drive one, don't you, Buzz? Yeah, you have a Saturn?
I have one, yes.
Yeah, but I'm so sick of those commercials where it shows how much they love working there. Mm-hmm. And the one that I don't believe is where all the people on their day off
mm-hmm.
are painting the fences on the property.
You're so right about that.
Where they build the cars.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. Hey, listen, it's Saturday. We've been working in the factory all week. We're going to go out and paint the fence out at Shelly's house.
I do not believe that.
Forget about it.
That's not going to make me buy a car.
Have you ever seen the one where they go into the dealership and the person, hello, this is Carol, and it's her first new car. And everybody comes out and applauds, you know? Yeah, you know what they're doing. Like every other dealership, they're hustling her into the sales manager's office to try to get her to buy a warranty.
If they were honest about it, they do what they do every time I buy a car. Where I'm standing there, they go, congratulations. They all laugh at me.
When you drive off, it's like, you got a great deal there. Fantastic job, Mr. Geronimo.
Sucker.
See you later.
I've gotten invitations to their barbecues. They have little picnics from time to time for people who have purchased cars. And yeah, I mean, they do stuff like that.
What is worse, going to a Star Trek convention?
No, I don't.
Going to a cigar convention or going to a Saturn convention?
I don't know, but it's always nice to be invited.
Are you happy with your product there, Buzz?
It's a great car, and I was in and out of there in 30 minutes to buy that thing. 30 minutes.
But do you believe that crap about them painting the fences?
I don't think they did it on their own time. I think they got paid to do it.
Well, they should say that in the commercial.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the base model Saturn that you paid, what, $85,000 for?
No, $85, actually.
And is it true that if you go into a dealership, they'll give you free donuts?
Sure.
Like that stupid commercial they have?
They always find some way to take good care of it.
Did you walk in there and did you say, ladies and gentlemen, this is Buzz, and this is his third new car? And do they all come out and applaud?
No, but I always get a friendly greeting.
So there's that. So you're saying that there's something to it.
Well, yeah, it is a little friendlier and a little easier and a little less hassle than other places you might go.
What if you went in and you said, hey, listen, this is all nice, your donuts are nice, but you want me to buy the car?
Right.
You see that girl behind the counter right there? You bring her in here.
Right.
You have her perform, and then I'll buy that car from you.
Between you and the lady.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would sell me a car.
Imagine that if you put that into the ad campaign.
Maybe even better. Maybe you could have sex in the car that you're going to buy.
Right.
And you could crisp to get rid of that new car smell.
Mm-hmm.
A big four motors.
Our prices are about 30% more than the average retail auto manufacturer. But we offer something that you can't get at any other dealership. If you buy a car from us, this woman will sleep with you.
I'm Buzz Burbank. I'm out here on Saturday painting a fence because later the car lady will have sex with me.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So listen, Stephanie.
Yeah.
Stephanie, who test drives cars for a living.
Uh-huh.
Do you have, you said you're naked?
I sure am.
Really?
Really. I guess it gets boring doing that test driving all day.
It sure does. And when I come home, I just like to lay back and just relax.
Peel your clothes off.
I'm trying to find that porno movie with y'all, where y'all are mentioning it.
So are we.
Yeah, we're looking. I didn't, I almost went into Blockbuster to look for it, but I got a little embarrassed.
Sure.
You know, I'm kind of like Hank Hill like that.
Yeah, I'm not going after that Hank Hill episode. I'm not going into any video stores anymore.
I would have to vote, though, last night that The Simpsons was slightly better than Hank Hill.
Hey, anytime you're talking about Moe the bartender having sex.
When Homer is sitting at the bar, and Moe says, okay, this car is me, and this olive is you.
Mm-hmm.
And then Homer eats the olive, and he goes, mmm. I mean, there's not a lot that makes me bust a gut and laugh out loud.
That's Homer.
That did it, though, man. I was absolutely on the floor. funny.
Yeah, it is
funny.
Wild stuff.
It is so funny. And funnier than King of the Hill again, 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Little bit of a stinker last night on King of the Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the animated features, still solid programming.
Oh, yeah. Better than anything with real actors in it.
Sure.
No
yeah.
doubt about that. Yeah. Well, listen, if you're naked and you have some, you have vegetable items there, Stephanie?
Yes, I do.
What do you have with you now, Stephanie?
Right now, my favorite thing is my cucumber. That's it.
Is it oiled?
Yes, it is.
Is that the same cucumber you used last week?
No, it's not. I ate that one.
You ate that one?
Oh, boy. Did you put it in a salad?
Oh, I love tossed salad.
Was it a salted pepper?
Yes, it was.
Okay. A cucumber?
Sort of strawberry snack.
Well, listen, Stephanie, keeping in mind that I'm not sure how far we can go with this, how about you... You do something with your cucumber
right now that I can't really describe.
Okay, well,
would you do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, can I just make the noise with it? Because I don't think they actually want to know over there what I'm doing.
No, we don't want to know over there what you're doing, and you might want to even keep that noise down to a dull roar.
Unless you just can't control yourself.
Okay.
Now, do you think she's going to... How big is this cucumber right now that we're talking about?
It's about 7 inches long.
I love a good magic trick.
I think it's fantastic, and she could go on that Fox show.
Tomorrow night, how magic tricks are done.
Yeah, you loved that first one, right?
Oh, it was great. It was the best.
So all I have to do is make it disappear then.
Let us know how much of the cucumber you make disappear. Here she is, the incredible Stephanie.
Stephanie and her produce.
Stephanie the Magnificent.
Here it goes.
Here it goes. Here comes the big trick.
Okay.
How much of the cucumber can you see, Stephanie?
You can see maybe 2 inches.
Bravo.
Wow.
Way to go. Fantastic.
And I don't want to lose it. That's why you can't.
You don't want to lose it.
Yeah, that's
certainly
true.
Not.
Yeah, that'd be
cool.
That'd be cool.
Imagine what Greenville Memorial Hospital would think if walking in with a cucumber stuck.
You don't happen to own a camera, do you?
I sure don't.
Oh, that's too bad.
No.
But
I would make a great picture to hang on our wall.
It sure would.
The vanishing cucumber.
And if you really get into trouble there, Stephanie, do you have any salad tongs?
Stephanie?
Huh?
Listen, you've earned the chance to tell your stinky joke, so go ahead.
Okay.
Here she is now.
President Clinton was looking for some call girls, a blonde, a brunette, and a redhead.
Yeah.
To the blonde, he said, "I'm the president of the United States. How much would it cost me to spend some time with you?" She replied, $200. To the brunette, he passed a similar proposition, and his reply was $400. When he approached the redhead along with similar lines, she replied, smiling, "If you can raise my skirt as high as my taxes, get my panties as low as my wages, get that thing of yours as hard as times are, and screw me, Mr. President, it ain't going to cost you a damn cent."
All right, well, listen,
that was fun.
But she made 5 inches of the cucumber disappear.
Yeah. Terrific job, Stephanie.
The incredible
Love
Stephanie.
Y'all going,
Thank you, Stephanie.
Doing it.
I'm glad we could make your dreams come true today.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen. Stephanie, everybody.
Bravo.
Ho, ho, ho. Green giant.
All right. I just figured out what I'm giving up for Lent.
Cucumber salad. Hello.
But not jelly.
Not in my show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Well,
hi,
listen.
I'm sorry. I was just engrossed listening to that lady and you guys. It was just too funny.
Funny.
I heard her last week when she called.
Who thought that was funny? Who thought that was sensual?
Oh, yeah.
I did.
I was calling because I went to a wedding Saturday night, and I was these guys pulled out their cigars. And I said, oh, my God, Don and Mike, we're talking about this sensual thing about the cigars. And what's called? Oh yeah, that book. He went outside and got his book, and I started reading some of those letters.
Oh, you mean the Cigar Aficionado magazine?
Oh my gosh, you were right. I said, boy, if it's that good as making love, I want one. And he goes, really? And I said, no, I'm just kidding. I'd rather have sex.
I bet that Stephanie.
They were all in their group smoking cigars.
I bet Stephanie could make one of those cigars disappear, huh?
Yeah, those are real thin.
Probably a lit one.
Thank you, Barbara.
But it was unbelievable because, you know, my husband tells me at work they have this section where they have cigar section.
Oh, where you can smoke it at work?
Yes. Hmm. They have a section where they just do cigars.
I think we should have a Stephanie section at our station. any of the ladies who want to bring any of their produce or vegetable items to work.
All right. Welcome.
Well, didn't she have a tossed salad afterwards?
Yes, she did.
Thank you, Barbara.
Oh, wait, I have one more comment.
Okay.
You were talking about Saturns and the car dealers when I was on the phone listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
I have a brand new Saturn. I bought one last year.
Good.
And I waited 3 months to buy one. I kept going up there because this was like my third car. And we went on a weekend. What a bad idea that was. They had the radio station there and everything. Well, they sent you out in the middle, and they do this clapping thing. And they do give you free donuts and all that other
stuff.
Sounds
very Mooney-like to me.
Yeah, to take a pledge.
Well, we did. We sent our two kids out there. We have a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old. And they said, Mr. and Mrs. Reeves. And they were doing all this clapping, and we sent our two kids out there.
Mr. and Mrs. What?
Mr. and Mrs. Reeves.
Reeves. Oh, I'm sorry.
Like Christopher Reeves.
Christopher Reeves.
Yeah. We sent our two children out there to take the car. And they were clapping, and they were looking at the kids like, these people just bought the car.
I think she got accidentally disconnected.
You had to be there.
She went on and on.
She certainly did.
She's a nice lady, though.
She was nice, and she'd enjoy our section here at the station. Hey, ladies, it's Yam Day.
Go buy yourself a nice squash. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, this is Glenn. How are you?
Hey, buddy.
Good. Well, I'm just motoring along 395, having experienced a great afternoon there at the passport agency.
Oh, I've done that before.
That stinks.
That's the worst place to go in the world.
How many hours did it take you to get your passport?
Well, in actuality, if you act like you're really stupid and from out of town and from out of the country, you can cut right through there in 3 hours.
You can whisk right through in a quick 3 hours.
There you go.
But there was more Ishmaels and Ahmeds and Apus and, Jones and Glorias and Sam.
Listen, at that point, I say that's fine, because they got a passport. That means they're going to leave the country.
Yes, I'm leaving the country tomorrow, thank you.
All right, thank you.
But I told everybody down
there. All right. There's another guy that had to be taken care of.
Have we mentioned that Monday is story day on the Don and Mike Show?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing.
That was a short story. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
I can't tell if this is me or not.
Why don't you look in a mirror?
I'm sorry,
Usually you get a vibration down around your throat, and that indicates that you are talking.
Okay, I was confused because I turned on the radio just in time. And
I understand this 21st century technology. Space age, man.
Yeah, it's just kind of scary, actually.
All right, now that we have confirmed that you are you.
What?
I live near Stephanie, and I was going to offer my camera for you if you want it.
My God, it's just a horny guy. It's just some horny guy.
Some guy that just looks like the food dude, showing up at her door with, bags full of produce and a camera.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Body.
Hey, great show, as always. Listen, I was listening in my car when you were talking to your wife about getting sick. And, you can blame them enough, They always have a comeback.
Oh, the wife? Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, of course. But I have the ultimate story about my wife getting sick.
It's Monday, story day on the Don and Mike Show.
This is pretty heinous. But anyway, we were eating at a local establishment, a steakhouse. We've been drinking before, stayed there for dinner. Had dinner, had a few more drinks on the way home. We're maybe 3 miles from our apartment. We lived in Woodbridge at the time. She starts complaining that she really has to go to the bathroom. She's feeling sick, and I'm thinking, well, she's gonna throw up. So just open the window or lean out the door and get sick. So we pull in.
You're a classy man. That's nice of you. You're a classy man. Okay.
Well, no. We weren't that far away, so I figured she could just hold it. I just kept telling her
put her head out the window, right?
I think that anybody that's ever been violently ill and vomiting knows that that's very easy to do, to hold it.
Yeah.
It's not an unnatural reflex at all, when the vomit just comes up your windpipe.
My wife said she held it. She choked it back.
You and I have never had that luck, unfortunately. But when it's time,
we spew and spew.
And it comes right out of nowhere.
Right out of the tap.
Absolutely.
Comes out our mouth, comes out our nose, comes out our ears. Puke out of every orifice.
But okay, so you told her, hey, honey, go out the window.
Right. So she held it like a trooper. So we get to the apartment, we drive in, we park the parking space. She immediately starts, falling out of the car. And I'm holding her up, and she starts pulling her pants down. I'm like, what are you doing?
She squats down and takes the biggest crap in the parking lot.
I was wrong. Your wife is a classy one in the family.
I love her to death. She's beautiful. Yeah, we just.
Oh, he sounds it.
What's not to love?
Oh, golly.
It gets better. So we're there, and it's really not that late in the evening. And the next thing I know, here comes another person that lives in the complex. She's been out jogging, and I'm there cleaning up my wife. She looks over and just goes sprinting in the apartment. So every time I ever get sick now, of course, I've got the ultimate comeback. But anyway.
Well, that's terrific.
Anyway.
I predict you'll win every argument your whole married life.
Man, I mean, you can go back to that for you. You can be 80 years old and go back to that one. Hey, don't give me a hard time. Remember when you squatted in the parking lot?
Wow.
All right, guys.
Goodbye.
See you later. Bye.
Goodbye.
And he loves her like the first day they were together.
Yeah.
Oh, she's a beautiful lady.
Yeah. She's not pulling down her pants to take a big dump.
That's one I've never heard before.
Hello, Don and Mike Show, number two.
Hello. How you doing?
Hey, hi.
Hey, you should get Stephanie to come back every week and do the fruit of the week.
Hey, you're an idea guy.
Mm. You know, we're not fond of idea guys.
What kind of fruit is a cucumber?
I knew he couldn't answer that one.
Something there.
What a f***ing moron.
Right about that, fairy godmother. We'll be right back.
I don't recognize the voice. Okay, is this Marianne?
Oh.
Have I had fun with you within the past 2 months?
Yes.
Okay, that cuts it down to 1,000. Are you Michelle?
No.
Are you Katie?
No.
Are you Annette?
Yes.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm waiting for you.
Because of you, I'll be right over. Power 95 with the May is getting ready to step out in style. Got my clean shirt on, new shoes, silk suit, black tie. My diamond ring is on, grab my top hat and coat and my white clothes. Ladies come running as fast as they can, because they're crazy about a dressed man. ZZ Top and high class from Power 95.
Power 95, Kalamazoo weather. I know spring is just a couple of weeks away, but it's still going to be a tad cool driving around town with your top down tonight under clear skies, low 25. For Friday, halfway decent, mixed clouds with a high 50. Right now, 45 downtown, 41 at the airport, and 42 at Power 95. Base patrol lines open, 381-1420. Kalamazoo's power connection is Power 95 WKPR Kalamazoo. Rains at 5 p.m. with more of your favorites on the way from Whitney Houston, Bruce Springsteen, and Whitesnake from Compact Disc. Plus your chance to win a weekend for two to Los Angeles in minutes. So keep in touch on your power connection. Power 95. Power 95 KPR. Tigers taking on the White Sox this afternoon in Florida in baseball action. While the Pistons are in Dixie doing battle with San Antonio and the NCAA regional semifinals get underway tonight in Pontiac. Here's Michael. Power 95, May's on a roll at 5:37. I knew very early in life I was different when my parents told me I was born at night, carrying a microphone and wearing sunglasses, ready to party. Corey Hart off the power lines from KPR.
The Don and Mike Show.
Are they strong? Listen, bud. They've got radioactive blood. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
The management of WJFK has decided that while ongoing negotiations continue, we will bring you the best of the Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike will be back live soon. Thank you for listening.
You know, Murphy Brown had her 50th birthday last night. I could swear she's 60.
Yeah, at least.
I didn't even know Murphy Brown was still on the air.
Is he still on the air?
Yes.
I thought she died of cancer.
No.
I mean, the character of Murphy Brown. Was the character 50, or is the character, is Candace, is she 50?
I think Murphy Brown is 50.
But the Candace is
like, well, I don't know, 60 maybe?
How old is she really?
I don't know exactly. And does Murphy, doesn't Murphy Brown have some kind of cancer?
She does.
Besides ratings?
She does.
We know she has ratings cancer.
But she will live, and that's how they will end the series next month when it finally does come to an
end.
So
they're ending the series totally?
Yes.
Totally.
Next month.
So now you're telling me...
Will she be dying?
No.
Oh, too bad.
No.
So you're telling me that
that's always good for ratings.
We're losing Sybil.
Yes.
And we're losing Murphy Brown?
I'm sorry, Mike.
Oh, my God.
Where are we going to get that middle-aged fix?
This is not acceptable.
And I don't see any projects out there for the beautiful Vicki Lawrence in the offing either.
She'd be perfect. Oh, man, I just hope she's getting scripts.
All I know is last night when I flipped by that awful Tom Selleck show.
Mm-hmm, The Closer.
Which can't be funny to save its life.
It comes on right after Raymond, right?
Yes, which was a funny show. The Everybody Loves Raymond. There was another funny one last
night,
right?
Laugh out loud, funny. Yep. As soon as I see Selleck, bam, the remote's in my head.
Then at 9:30, it was Murphy Brown.
Mm.
And you know that another old lady, it's my party and I'll cry if I want to.
Yeah.
Doing a bad lip sync. They had the original singer.
Leslie Gore?
Yes, who must be, you know, 70 now.
She's the female Benny King.
She really is.
One song.
And she has milked it her whole life with Benny King at Stand By Me. That's
absolutely
a good one.
That's
with her, it's My Party.
Right. Yep.
I flipped by and I just looked at her for a second. I thought Murphy Brown was dead.
No.
And as it turns out, it's a birthday party.
Well,
isn't that something? She lives.
I hope they give that guy a spinoff.
Jim Dial. You know, that show misses Miles.
Yes, in battle.
Remember the little mousy producer?
I never watched Murphy Brown.
I used to watch it sometimes.
I protested against Murphy Brown. I never thought it was funny at all.
Hmm. Well, you know, I've always had a thing about Candace Bergen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean a good thing. I mean weird, because her dad was Edgar Bergen with the ventriloquist dummy of Charlie McCarthy.
Right.
Michael, tell you this, long before there was ever a Murphy Brown show,
you would always rail against Candace, saying, hey, she lived next door to a dummy, slept in the bedroom next to the dummy's bedroom, the dummy who had his own bedroom.
Right.
That had to make her weird.
She would occasionally come up in conversation. She was in movies about 30 years ago where she was supposed to be pretty hot.
Mm-hmm. I always thought in her early days she was a hot.
And that was the argument we had.
I still think she's a very handsome woman.
And as a matter of fact, more than one person has pointed out to me that the object of my hatred is too strong a word, of my indifference towards Candace Bergen, should really be her dad.
Yes.
Edgar. Who's the guy that made the ventriloquist dummy sit at the table with him and have dinner with them. And
he was like radio ventriloquist.
Dress them up. Yeah. And what kind of a gig is that? Radio ventriloquism?
The ultimate gig.
Yeah. Like you can't see the mouth moving?
And then when you would see
him. What I'm saying? Excuse me.
When TV did come in.
Oh. Ah.
That's better.
What?
Nothing.
I really had a real cough there.
Okay.
I wasn't trying to mute you out. I had a real cough.
I forgot what I was going
to
say.
So I used to rail against Candace Bergen because I thought it was weird that she had to grow up in that environment. And I realized that it's misplaced, but that's just the way I've always felt.
And I used to say that she's a pretty lady, and I just don't think she's funny with that Murphy Brown. I never thought that show was very funny. I think she's good looking, but somebody somewhere along the line said, hey, you are so funny.
She looks kind of wooden.
Yeah. Well, like
she
a brother.
She looks kind of like Charlie McCarthy, right?
You know, no one's ever really checked.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? Maybe she actually could be a recreation.
How weird was that? Her dad, who would always wear like a tuxedo, right? He'd come out to the dinner table. Well, Candace, say hello to Charlie.
Hello, Candace. Candace, eat your vegetables. Eat your vegetables.
Daddy, I don't want to. Father, she would call him father.
Father.
Father, I don't want to eat with the dummies again.
Why not? We like you, Candace. We love you.
Don't talk to me, Candace. Talk to them.
Hello, Candace. It's good to see you. We are really looking forward to seeing you eat all your vegetables.
See, if I'm Candace Bergen, I say something like, how you like living in a suitcase, you freaking piece of wood?
You're out in the backyard.
How do you like having my dad's hand up your rear end to make you talk? Huh, you freak with a nicer bedroom than me?
Father Edgar, Candace is taking us out to the backyard. She's pouring gasoline on us. No! Oh!
Who's to say that that wouldn't have happened?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Could have.
Because poor Candace Bergen.
Hey, little Candace has lit us on fire.
Father, I set Charlie McCarthy and all of his friends on fire.
Help me, help me. Oh, my monocle's melting. My monocle is melting into my eye.
You know this guy, the radio ventriloquist.
Right.
Yeah, that still makes me laugh. Radio ventriloquist. Yeah.
Sure.
He built a bedroom for the ventriloquist dummies.
Yep, mm-hmm. He did.
Which I read in an article was a nicer room than the room for his real-life daughter.
That's where the money came from.
Sure.
You know, those little dummies. And then when he got on TV, you could actually see
his mouth move.
Yeah, it's terrible, yeah. Ventriloquist.
Horrible. He sucked.
Yeah.
Hello, Donna, Mike Show.
Steve Volke here. Like to say hi to Darna.
This is some kind of... This is something's going on
That was
here.
Interesting. You know, he almost sounded
like Darnell Valentine.
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
Hello?
Oh.
Maybe the secret is coming out.
Who knows?
Hmm.
This is Darnell Valentine. Hello?
Happy birthday to Grant Napier.
Donna Mike Show.
Yeah, this is the landscape guy. You guys hung up on earlier.
Is this the guy that was talking about my yard?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Please hold. Hang on. I'll speak with you during... And this time...
All right.
All right, that is line number what?
Four.
All right, don't touch
number four. What are you going to say to him?
I want to talk to him.
What are you going to say to him?
It's my business. I want to talk to him. I wish to talk to him. Is that so wrong?
Do you have turds?
It's killing you, isn't it? It's killing you that this one little thing that I want to do.
Not killing me.
It's just killing you.
It's not killing me.
Well, I just want to talk to him.
Not killing me.
I want to have a word with him.
Okay.
I want to have one word.
Have a word.
Have a word. Share a song.
On the Mike Show. Hello.
How you doing?
Hey.
Hey, you guys, you were talking earlier about a website, some lady, a live feed of her life. It sounded so stupid, I just had to look at it.
You mean that girl in Maryland, the fat girl that just sits in front of the camera?
I guess it is, yeah. Do you know where it was or something?
You mean like what the address is?
I have no idea.
It's so stupid, I just have to see it.
No idea, sir.
All right, thanks.
Okay, see you later.
She has sex in front of her camera. She said that on the show that they did on her that she actually has sex, but it's not that I'd want to.
Hello.
She stirs the soup. But use a spoon.
Oh.
If you want to get every last drop. Hello, Donna, my show.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Angie from Fredericksburg. I have a good singer for you guys.
You have a what, Angie?
A singer.
A singer?
Yeah, that you guys need, like, you know, singer you're looking for.
Oh, you mean like in the trifecta?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Vanilla Ice.
He's a good choice. He's a white guy. He was popular for a while.
Nobody knows really what he's been doing lately. He could end up in a hotel room.
Oh, we hope so. We only hope so. Okay. What is this? Oh, I know why we have this phone number out. This is Marge Schott's phone number, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Marge Schott, the real Marge Schott, is in a hospital.
Yes.
Yes, she is.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that sound. I was completely taken by surprise with that.
She broke her hip the other day.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's right.
She don't you remember we talked... cigarette butt or something?
We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any black orderlies. I don't want any chink doctors.
Get them out of here.
All whites. Whites with blonde hair and blue eyes.
Hi, doctor. Are you Jewish? Let me see your driver's license.
So, she's in the Jewish hospital of Cincinnati.
Wonderful.
Wow. And we researched it and got the phone number.
It's good. Let's call and wish her well. Wonder if she's been allowed to keep that dog Shotzi in there with her. The big St. Bernard.
I had a brain fart for a second because I don't know why we had this big sign that says Jewish hospital. Hello. Yes, this is the Don and Mike Show, and we are doing our national radio show right now. We'd like to speak to Miss Schott, please, Mrs. Schott.
I'm sorry I'm not able to give you Mrs. Schott. I can give you the nurse's station up there.
Sure, yes.
Yeah, that'd be even better.
That's a better interview to find out. The ladies would have to change her.
How are you?
Yes, we're live.
You are?
Yes, we're on the air right now. Imagine having to change Marge Schott's bedpan.
I told you.
Actually, it looks like she's been discharged. Hold on just a minute.
It looks like she has discharged?
She has been discharged.
Oh, I see.
Hold on just a moment. I'm checking.
Thank you. That's another part that's not so great about being Marge Schott's nurse.
Yeah.
It looks like she was discharged today.
Oh.
She went home today.
Can we talk to the nurses anyway?
Sure, one moment.
Thank you. Maybe they'll have some tales to tell.
How was she as a patient? That's all that you need to ask.
Who had the sponge bather?
Get the hell out of here.
Hello, fellas. Yes, this is 2 East calling.
Pardon me? Answering.
This is 2 East. May I help you?
2 East?
Yeah.
2 East. Hey, what's up, dude?
Well, who you want to talk to, dude?
Is this a woman?
Are you a woman?
This is a woman, I think. Sorry about that. Sorry, ma'am. Hey, listen, this is Don and Mike. We're doing a national radio show now. And we're wondering how Marge is doing.
Dude. Marge is out of the hospital. She was discharged this morning.
How was she as a patient? Were you up there during her stay?
I sure was.
And how was Ms. Shaw?
Wonderful. She was a nice patient.
Oh, good.
Did she allow any black doctors to touch her?
We're just curious. Hello?
No, this is a radio station.
Oh, see, maybe she did. I don't know how. I don't know how they found out she didn't want to hang up the phone. Hang up.
When you read how funny he came in, he was good. They built tremendous highways. He turned, got all the tractors going, everything. He looked good at the beginning, but then he went nuts. He went berserk, I guess, and I think even his own generals tried.
That's Marge Shaw talking about Adolf Hitler.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He killed him, didn't he? Everybody in history knows that he did was good at the beginning, but he just went too far.
He was good at the beginning.
He just went too far.
Went too far.
Yeah. Quite an indictment, isn't it?
He built good roads, though.
Oh, yeah.
According to Marge Shine.
History, Malfoyan lung, chimney breath, tall as fucking tobacco face. Wind-infested yellow fingers, gives dope-using emphysema loving. These are not nice names, people. Smokers are people, too.
Right. Smokers are people, too.
People, hello. I'm Marge Shine, and I want my bedpan changed. He was good at the beginning. He just went too far.
Imagine that. You're an orderly, and you're back there paying some guy $20. Please, she needs to have her temperature taken. I'm not the man for the job.
I hope you don't mind. I use my bedpan as an ashtray. I'm sorry.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Hey, my friend.
Hey, I saw Boogie Nights the other night.
Yes, Boogular Nights.
Yeah, the chick that's in there, the roller girl. Is that the same chick as Judy Robinson?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, in Lost in Space, right, correct.
Oh, she was all kinds of naked in Boogie Nights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a hot chick.
Oh, man.
All right.
I threw my Jell-O into the bedpan along with some cigarettes.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Very sorry.
Hello?
Hello?
Don?
Yes. Hello?
Can you get the electricity turned back on for us over here?
Oh, you got a power outage somewhere?
Yeah, here in Falls Church. I know you got some pool here.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely, Don. One phone call, he'll get that back
Let me
for you.
Pull my finger. I'm good at pulling that. Hello?
I just want to say hi to Thompson, Connecticut.
Okay.
Thompson, Connecticut.
Right on. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
Don and Mike.
I could spend a lot of time talking about Marge Shaw in the hospital.
Of course.
I am really, really PO'd at you.
Why is that, Mrs. Shaw?
Because look at the pan. It's full. It's got Jell-O and cigarette butts in it. Shots he drank out of it earlier.
Mrs. Shaw.
What?
The only physician on staff tonight is an African-American man. He went to Harvard. He's fully qualified for the job.
No, God damn it, no.
You need someone to see
you. No, get the hell out of here. Take your black doctor and go.
All right. What about Dr. Horowitz?
Is he Jewish?
Yes.
No. I want a Protestant. Get me a Protestant, and hopefully he's German.
Hello, Don Mike. Somebody put the call out for a German Protestant doctor.
I want him up here now.
And Mrs. Schott, would you please close up the back of your robe?
No, you got a problem with my ass? Take a look, Sonny. Get Dr. Mueller. I want Dr. Mueller.
This is Dr. Mueller. Hello, Frau Schott.
Oh, Dr. Mueller, take my temperature.
Dankeschön.
Oh, let me have a cigarette first.
Hello? Yeah, hello?
Yeah, which would you do, Partagas or La Aurora?
What would you do, what?
Which would you do, Partagas or La Aurora?
Are you speaking gibberish?
Cigar aficionado.
You mean Partagas?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard it pronounced Partagas.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, well, that's your mistake.
Yeah,
Mr. Cigar Aficionado. Is this Cigar John? What was that guy's name? Cigar Dave. Cigar
yes,
Dave.
Long Ashes from the General.
Hello, Mike Show. Hey, listen, we got such a powerful show. How about someone in one of our beautiful 50-plus cities find me a nice box of Fuente Fuente Opus X?
Oh, that'd be a lovely gift.
That's beautiful. You know anything about cigars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tell me why I can get a box of those.
And I'd like some Camels.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
This is April from Fleesburg. Hey, how about Marge Shott and Lay King as a couple?
Can you do that for me?
No, somebody took their funny pills today.
Yeah, somebody's writing for us again.
Okay.
Created by...
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, yeah, I'd like to speak to Don and Mike, please.
You're speaking to us. Hello.
Sure. This sounds like Rob A.
Oh, come on. Please, sir.
Oh, okay.
You try my patience.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I just listened to him talking about Marge Schott. I'd like to ask him if they'd like to see if Dr. Homo go see her.
Man, everybody wants to write our bits.
Why do you feel the need to call and tell us what jokes to say?
Come on.
Well, let me hear what the fairy godmother says.
Yeah. Get a mod. She's always firm but fair.
Mm-hmm. I have to wonder if they have a tooth in their head.
Would you have the fairy godmother get me Dr. Mueller?
Dr. Mueller.
Dr. Klaus Mueller.
Hello, Frau Schott. Oh. This is Dr. Klaus Mueller.
Dr. Mueller. Oh, my. My shingles are bothering me.
What a horrible thing to say.
Oh, thank you. Here's the bedpan.
Hello.
You guys are nuts.
Not on my show.
Foxy's wearing it as a collar.
Hello.
How about James Brolin getting ready to die? Because he left Bailey Quarters for Barbara Streisand.
Not musical, though.
No, it has to be a rock star. A rock star who's not real popular to go along with Lily Vanilli and Tammy Wynette.
That's right.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
There's an aquarium in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and their main attraction is jellies.
Jellyfish?
Mm-hmm. Jellyfish.
Jelly.
Mmm.
Jelly.
So this week, Ken Stevens will be floating by.
Frau Schott, I have some wonderful jelly for you.
Oh, God bless you. You're Dr. Klaus Mueller. I love you, Dr. Mueller.
I am the number one doctor in all of unified Germany.
Oh, you're right, Dr. Mueller. Dr. Mueller, I have a problem. I've soiled my bed sheets. Help me.
I'll be right there.
Thank you. I just need a tongue depressor and a towel.
Frau Schott?
Oh, yes, Dr. Mueller.
I hear and I obey.
Oh, Klaus Mueller.
Hello.
I think Marge needs some help with her polyps.
Oh. Stop it. Leave me alone.
Hello, Donald.
I broke my hip.
Not on my show.
Yeah, I'd like to complete your trifecta.
All right.
Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, like 3 years ago.
No, he's dead?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I've got to go. Dr. Klaus Mueller's trying to make a call right now.
I love you, Dr. Mueller.
I love you, Liebchen.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my gown's come undone.
Not on my show.
Stay done.
May I give you an anal waxing?
Oh, yes.
Frau Schott.
Long overdue.
Hello.
Donna Mike.
Her doctor's wearing a Nazi uniform, standing at the side of her bed.
Here he is. Doesn't he look good in that black uniform?
Dr. Mueller. Hello.
Dr. Klaus Mueller.
Hello.
Donna Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Great, thank you.
Hey, guys. Hey, I got an article out of the Friday paper. I was wondering if you'd be interested in hearing about it.
No, thank you.
No, hey, it was really interesting.
All right. All right. Have to tell me more. Hello, Don and Mike.
Took too much time getting to the point.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Billy Idol.
He'd be an excellent choice.
Billy Idol would be perfect because you would have all the different genres there.
Yeah, he'd be good. He wears a helmet now, right? Didn't he have a motorcycle accident and wears something on his noggin?
Yeah, Tibet, all the time.
It's a hockey helmet, right?
Yeah, all the time, constantly. Don and Mike Show.
Donna Mike.
Hello, this is Klaus Mueller. Can I help you?
Klaus Mueller. I have a pin on my buttocks. Hey, here's my idea for your trio of dead people. Mandy Patinkin.
Mandy Patinkin? I wish he was dead.
Mandy Patinkin.
He's the most annoying guest on the David Letterman show.
I'm dead. He's got that little way of singing that's so weird.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
No, I'm a little more annoying than that. This is Jim Elliot. I'm part of Trifecta Sunshine.
Jim Elliot meets Tammy Wynette.
Don and Mike Show. You'll meet her someday. Hello? Hello? Oh, golly, it's headache time. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, I have the next dead rock star.
All right, last call on this topic, please.
Okay, I believe it's the artist formerly known as Clarence Trent D'Arby.
Who? Don't you mean Terrence Trent D'Arby?
Terrence Trent, yes, yeah, him too.
Did you say Clarence Trent?
Yes, he said Clarence Trent.
Both of them will die together.
He wanted to participate.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. I hear Marge Schott calling for me.
Dr. Mueller. His name is Dr. Klaus Mueller, damn it.
This is Dr. Klaus Mueller.
Oh, help me on with my gown. I'm totally naked.
Yeah,
oh, have a cigarette.
We will be right back.
JFK!
As you know, the San Diego Zoo is one of the finest zoos in the world, and we've had this young lady on the show very often the past, 7 or 8 years. She's been appearing with us.
9 years.
Nine.
Right, yeah. Several plus several will be about nine.
You said seven or eight.
No, I didn't say seven or eight. I said several.
Then you said seven or eight, and I said nine.
Nine. Good, thank you.
Some of the animals you had as babies are now 10 years old.
That would be about right.
Remember the animals that did something funny on your tie?
Yes.
Those little lions, the little baby lions, were 1 year old.
That's right.
They're now treacherous and ferocious 10-year-old animals.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, John Embry is here tonight.
And she's now 32.
That's right. John is an you really think you're fooling everybody, don't you?
No.
And she
I
also...
I just here to do my best to help you.
I know that. And she does her 3 horse shows a day. Did you know that? At the animal park.
Boy, what an exciting idea.
Would you like an army cot or something? Maybe just a... Kind of catch up on a little, little nappy poo? Just might snap you right out of it. Okay.
I love Joan. I'm the only one who went down to see Joan. Doc has never seen her. You've never seen her. I went to the wild animal farm.
It's all right. But you're upsetting me. No. I'm
going to upset you. Joan and I.
I know you did. That's all very fun.
Don't say...
What?
I know her. I went down there.
Oh, I know you did. I know you went down there. And
I held a baby gorilla.
I couldn't go with you that week. You held a baby gorilla. Good. All right. And let's get her out here quickly.
The Don and Mike Show.
A kind word need not cost much. With half a loaf of bread and an empty cup, I found myself two friends, Don and Mike.
The management of WJFK has decided that while ongoing negotiations continue, we will bring you the best of the Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike will be back live soon. Thank you for listening.
Now, microphones, where are the microphones? And where's Mike? Where's Mike and his dog? Are they outside already? Hey, Mike? Where's Mike? Oh, you have Mike's microphone.
Yeah. Hmm.
Okay. All right, well, then I'll take this. Hello? Does it work in here?
Probably not.
All right. Well, then I turn the show over to the able hands of Buzz Burbank. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Buzz, you got to help cover us while we walk through the building where the wireless mics don't work.
No problem. You're listening to Dog Day Afternoon on the Don and Mike Show. We're hoping to have 100 dogs here today as dogs marry each other and, in some cases, their masters. There will also be same-sex marriages today with boy dogs marrying other boy dogs, girl dogs marrying other girl dogs, boy listeners marrying boy dogs, and every possible combination of that you can imagine. We've even heard from a guy who wants to bring a couple of horses by. Although that wasn't on the menu, it looks like it may happen now. Sounds like Don and Mike are starting to come with him. And here they are.
A wet spot, and I think that's what he did. So,
it sounds like Austin's had an accident.
Is this the door we're taking? All right. Making our way out now.
We're on the air.
You're
can
on,
we hear? Can we hear?
You're on the air.
Microphone's on.
Everything's
right.
Good.
Okay, good.
There we go.
This is a very complex operation. Without walking across our parking lot and going towards the grassy knoll.
All right.
Hey, I don't feel too queer wearing this poke suit out
but,
here.
You know, I'm taking this thing off. I can't hear it.
Come on.
You look good. That's the thing. You look good in the suit.
All right, my children.
Here we go.
How you all doing?
Hello, dog lovers.
Well, now, look, there are a whole bunch of dogs out here.
Oh, right.
Oh, and that's the first thing I want to see is Dennis P. Murphy, accountant. Hi, Dennis. How are you? Nice to see you. Thank you, Big Dumb Jimmy. Wow, and listen, give yourselves a round of applause, everybody, please. Now, they are a very sedate crowd, Mike.
What a beautiful day for a wedding.
I count a whole bunch of dogs. Yeah, that's what I like. Hey, now,
man.
Look at how some of these dogs are dressed up. You got some of these dogs wearing like a wedding dress over here.
This is beautiful.
Lots of dogs with the with those scarves, their kerchiefs around their necks.
I'm realizing how big and strong my dog is right now as he's dislocating my arm.
Look at this huge dog over here, this huge Dalmatian over here.
That's a Great Dane, Don.
Oh, that's a Great Dane?
Yeah.
Well, I got a little to learn about dogs.
But he's
spots.
Got Dalmatian spots on him.
He's got spots, and man, look at the thing on there.
Oh wow!
Is wow.
Has your dog been neutered?
Can you tell? No.
No, he hasn't.
Oh, your dog's Peter.
Are they friendly?
Yes.
All right.
Now this little dog here. What kind of dog is this?
This is a miniature pincher.
Pinscher, I hardly knew her. Hi there. And look, you put like glitter stuff like on her eyes.
Did you paint her toenails?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. That's too perverted. And look at Mike. Your dog is trying to sniff that other dog's huge wet thing.
I think I'm realizing right now my dog may be gay.
Now here are more dogs that are dressed up. Now you've got your dogs dressed up as bride and groom, though.
Yes, I do.
All right, and what's the groom's name?
Burr.
And the as in Raymond?
Yes.
The bride's name?
Her name is Hannah.
Hannah and Burr, B-U-R-R, Burr.
You dress these dogs up yourself?
Sure, they dress themselves.
Right, okay, good, I got you. Now, they're happy. Who out here is going to marry the dog themselves?
Do we have any humans that are going to marry the dog?
Or do we have all just people with dogs marrying dogs?
It looks like all dog-dog weddings here.
All right, well, we're going to have to bring them all very close. And I know that there's the chance of
I just heard an uh-oh from the crowd.
Chance of some type of action there. Bring all the dogs around. Gather around, my children.
And, of course, feel free to separate them if they get into a fight.
You know, in this poke...
Oh, dear, watch
fantastic.
Out.
We got the glowing... We have
dog treats.
I'm stepping a big pile of some dung.
I think you backed into some doggy poo.
I have my floating poker on the big pony head like now, there's my tip.
Sit.
That's a well-trained dog, bud.
Oscar...
Yeah, thank you very much.
You
thank you.
Very nice.
Good boy.
Now, who's a... Boy, oh boy. Who's already got dogs,
sit.
Male and female? They
sit.
Who's got a dog? Are you doing? What's your name?
Well,
what's your dog's name?
Dog's name's Okie.
Okie, and how old is he?
Okie's 3.5.
What kind of dog is he?
An Akita, but there's one caveat here. He's been neutered, so he won't be able to perform on the night.
Ah, snips, snip, snip. So you need a female dog for it.
Yes.
All right, is there anybody in the crowd who has a female dog that they brought? You have a neutered female?
You have
female?
A neutered female? Is she free?
Bring her over.
Oh, good. We have a matchmaker scene. It is hot out here, isn't it?
You know what I'm amazed at? I'm amazed that there's like 100 dogs here, and none of them are barking or making a lot of noise, except that one, that little
They're
one.
They're all doing that. They all seem to be very excited about the moment. Look at all these hounds.
Now, let's have these dogs meet each other. Hi, what's your name? David, what's this guy's name?
Yeah, it's a girl.
Oh, dear.
Oh, this is Jamie.
Hi, Jamie. Little shy. How old is Scout? What kind of dog is she?
A 7-year-old black lab.
All right. Well, Scout, what was your dog?
Okie.
Okie.
Don,
right.
I believe they've had their first fight. I think they had their first fight.
Cool. Who's fighting over here?
Do we have any of the killer dogs over there?
Oh, these dogs over here, man. Look at these bad dogs. Hey, how are you, sir?
Not too bad. How are you?
I'm great. Now, are these both males, or was one female, or what?
She's a female. She's Chewy, and he's Einstein.
Chewy and Einstein over here, Mike.
Chewy and Einstein?
Yes. And who's who?
He's Chewy, the Rottweiler. She's the Shepherd Rottweiler.
Hey, Don, I have a question. Has the owner been neutered? That's the question I have.
You? Would you like a haircut while you're here?
No, thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Gotcha. Oops. Oh, wow.
I'm a little worried about that owner.
That's a huge dollar. That's a hug out of my life.
This is a very calm scene, much like the calm before the storm. That could have
before we get to Dennis Murphy and the singing of the Hokie wedding song, yes?
Mm-hmm. I'd love to invite
it. Right, so this is another male dog who needs somebody?
Yeah, if worse comes to worse, I'll marry him.
All right, then.
And look at that little dog barking over there. Hey, my dog could have you for lunch.
What is your dog's name?
Buddy.
Buddy, all right. Is there anybody who has a female dog for Buddy? You do?
Yes.
Oh, right here. And it's a nice poodle.
A nice friendly poodle that's having like a nervous Bichon. Breakdown.
Oh, she's Bichon. All right. And what's your dog's name?
Chelsea.
All right, Chelsea, meet Buddy. So those two will be hooked together. How you doing, dude?
Hey, Don, I think Chelsea wants to have it out for the chihuahuas over here.
You know, this dog looks like... Anybody see that movie Gremlins?
Yes.
You remember the thing that the guy brought home? That's what these dogs look like. What kind of dogs are these?
Chihuahuas.
Chihuahua.
Sir, does that chihuahua ever, like, grab your ear and try to get those 750 earrings that are in your lobe?
No.
Okay, just check.
That's
and so you're not prepared to help us in any way.
Well, then how about either one of your standards, either White Christmas or the Star Spangled Banner?
Okay, good choice.
Folks, what would you rather hear? By round of applause, how many of you want to hear Dennis Murphy sing White Christmas?
Yeah.
All right, how many would like the Star Spangled Banner?
Don, they want the national anthem.
All Americans.
All right, Dennis, I will give you my microphone.
Dennis, you don't have the lyrics in front of you. Are you prepared to do this from memory?
Yes, I am.
Gone. Oh, I'm Mike, Dennis.
All right.
Calm down.
Let it go, Dennis.
Oh, okay, can you see? Oh, God.
Come on, Dennis.
Father Gongle, I was so proud when we hail as the twilight black gleaming. Through the skies and black skies, through the perilous skies, o'er the ramparts we watch, work again and meekly.
Help him out, sing along, folks.
And the lock at last plays
with enthusiasm.
Oh
my God.
Thank you, Dennis. Now, Mike, if you go here under our big wedding-like tent...
Here we are.
You'll see, look at this. This is like a real altar.
This is beautiful, an altar for the Pope.
And if everybody now would gather around under the tent, because I'm thinking that we could get all the weddings done, and then we'll do a commercial break, and we'll have everybody bring their dogs through the station for a giant parade.
Yeah, especially, isn't Ken's office open today?
Ken's office is wide open. He, as always, is not in town.
Fantastic.
All right, then, now I need Jimmy the intern in his wedding gown. Jimmy,
come on down here.
Jimmy the intern, here he comes.
Escorted by the fire department.
Take a good look at Jimmy.
Here he comes.
Oh, you're a beautiful bride, Jimmy.
You're gorgeous, Jimmy.
You know, I think he looks like one of the kids in the hall, doesn't he? Come on, Jimmy, have a seat, or have a stand.
Rob, would you like to give Jimmy away? All right.
You know what, I think I will do Oscar and Jimmy first.
Very good.
So let me get behind the altar here.
All right.
Jimmy, here's some flowers for you to hold.
Jimmy, why don't you get on the other side of Oscar? That would be the left side, Jimmy.
And let me put my Pope hat on.
All right, very good. Sit. Oh, and Oscar's slobbering, which is perfect.
And he's gone right for Jimmy's genital area.
There you go. It's
Mike, here is a little boutonniere for you.
It's not the wedding yet there, Oscar.
And this, I believe, Jimmy, why don't you put this on top of your veil? All right, hold on. We got some flowers for Oscar's collar, and all kinds of dogs going crazy around here.
There is love.
All right, who giveth this dog Oscar away?
The mother and I do.
Who giveth this beautiful bride away?
Me.
All right, now, you know what happens usually?
What, Mike?
When there's a wedding... Right before, since whoever's giving away, like the father of the bride,
yeah.
Normally before the father of the bride steps back, there's normally a little kiss. You know how they lift the bride.
Wait, I'm gonna wait. We're gonna do the kiss at the end of the set. They don't kiss.
No, I'm not talking about the dog kiss. I'm talking about who gives the bride away, steps back. That you know how it happens at a wedding when you see the father escort the bride up and then they lift the veil.
Oh, so you mean that Jimmy and Rob have to
absolutely,
kiss.
Don. That's what I was going for.
All right, I could go for that.
All right, there we go.
I could go for that.
Okay, there we go.
Rob lifts his veil.
Homo!
All right, there.
Thank you.
Now I see where you're going with that.
Way to go, Rob.
And now we'll expect you to do the same for Oscar, please.
Okay, Oscar. I love you very much.
Hey, just think about where that dog's nose just was. Just smelling that dog's big wet thing.
All right.
All right, well, is there anybody here who thinks that this man should not marry this dog? If you do now, say something or shut up. No? All right, everybody for this?
Yes, Father.
Now, what I'd like to know is, Does the groom have the proper protection?
The groom has the proper protection, and until they decide to have children, the groom will use that protection, and he's been using it for quite some time now. He has been fixed.
Now, I notice that our bride is wearing white. Am I to assume that at least with a dog that you're a virgin, Jimmy?
With a dog?
Yes.
No, not with dogs. We're talking a dog.
You are not a virgin with a dog.
Literally a canine? You're not a virgin with a dog?
You've had a dog? In the canine sense, I'm a virgin. But if you're talking about dogs, well, you know.
You're just falling apart. All your veils and gowns and stuff, they're all falling off of you.
With this marriage, will I have... Is this the Geraldo show with you grabbing my hand every time I put the microphone
Jimmy, why did you get
my new father-in-law?
Yes. Why did you get down on your knees? To level with Oscar.
Sit,
Oscar.
Sit.
Good boy. Jimmy, why don't you put your arm around Oscar?
Here we go.
Oscar, and look at that. Look at that big slobber coming off Oscar's mouth.
Look at that.
Jimmy's got it. You know what it's like?
Oh, God.
You ever see that movie Turner and Hooch?
Yeah.
That big ass slobber.
Oscar's a little hot.
And Jimmy is rubbing that slobber all over his veil.
Oh, God.
Oscar?
Oh, Jimmy. I wouldn't even do that. It's my dog.
Oscar, do you promise to love, honor, and cherish Jimmy the intern? Do you?
Pay attention, Oscar. Pay attention, Oscar.
Do you promise to be the loving husband that Jimmy needs, to be the calming influence that Jimmy has, to be the person there at the end of the day to talk to Jimmy, and more importantly, are you willing to be the pitcher if Jimmy's the catcher? Oscar, if you agree, don't say anything.
He agrees, Don.
Good man. Jimmy the intern. Oh!
No, sit.
That was the dog shook its head, and that slobber was everywhere, man.
I wonder if that was any indication. Maybe Oscar's having second thoughts.
Jimmy the intern, do you, as a human, say now that you will love Oscar as your husband? Jimmy, now you can say yes.
Yes. You answer the response in the booklet is I will.
I will. Do you promise to love this dog as you've loved no other dog?
I will.
Do you promise to always use protection with this dog until such time as the dog's father says it's okay to procreate?
Emphatically, I will.
Excellent. Do you promise to be faithful to this dog? You won't tear a piece out of a poodle or a dog, that you will always maintain your solemn vows?
We have a disturbance.
There's a fight going
there's
on.
There's a fight in the back.
Promise to keep Oscar as your husband forevermore?
I shall. I will.
Do I have a milk bone? Do we have a milk bone that Jimmy could eat now and share with Oscar as a way of proving their love for each other? Milk bone, please, sir.
There we go.
Milk bone. Now, Mike, with you as the father-in-law.
Don, would you bless the milk bone, please?
The milk bone has been officially blessed.
I only wish this was TV. Then everybody could see how you blessed that milk bone. Oh, no. A couple of dogs didn't care for that kind of blue humor.
What I'd like is, Jimmy, put the dog biscuit in your mouth with the long end. Right, now, Oscar.
Oscar,
if you will eat the other end of the biscuit together, and when they're done eating the biscuit, it will appear as though they are kissing. And yes! Yes, I now pronounce you man.
Way to go,
dog.
And Oscar's chowing down on that biscuit.
Jimmy, you've done a lot of stuff on this show before, but I got to think this is the highlight. Dressing in a wedding gown, marrying Mike's dog, and sharing a biscuit with
the dog. On Cracker Mouth. Enjoying his biscuit, too. They just shared the wafer.
Jimmy, would you give Oscar a big hug and kiss?
All right, here we go.
Come here. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present Mr. and Mrs. Oscar O'Mara.
I'm so proud.
We're going to give you a wonderful night at a kennel together.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Where you can sniff each other's butts all night long.
You are so lucky. And I want you to treat my dog with respect.
Does this mean I now have access to the O'Mara family fortune?
Absolutely not.
Thank you. Thank you, Jimmy, and thank you, Oscar. Now, everybody else with the dogs, we do a quick commercial break. We come back. I'll marry them all at once, but get them all. All the dogs have to be underneath the tent.
Very good.
Okay, but you got a couple of minutes. We got a commercial set here.
And I love that reaction. Oh, boy.
Okay, we will be right back.
WJFK.
I got one more question. I'm a student of print journalism, and I just wanted to know, what advice do you have for young people coming up into the field? Like, professors are telling us how hard it is to get into the field at first. I'd just like to know, since you're in the field, do you have any advice on that? for instance, experience, is that important?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Is that probably the most important element?
Well, it's way up there.
It's way up there? Anything else? Anything you could do?
Pressure under fire.
Mm-hmm.
Done this before. I don't want it to be his first surgery.
Okay.
Applied himself well.
Mm-hmm.
These are things I'd have confidence in a young MD.
Okay. I'm talking about journalism field.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
The journalism. Like, I'm a student of journalism at a college, and I was just wondering the most important aspect of getting into journalism, not the medical field. I think you're exhausted from 30 nights.
I am exhausted from 30 nights. No person, even those of us who are superhuman, those of us with Herculean appetites for the diverse and the bizarre, even those of us who have shown an aptitude to fight the good fight and stay the good long battle, even those of us can get tired. And your boy is tired after 30 consecutive nights. I have a half hour to go, and I'm going to do that half hour because I'm a pro. That's what pros do. I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
Okay.
That's what we do. We're pros. We're never rude. We don't cop out. We don't tell you that we're ill or that we're looking for the farmhouse in the middle of the desert or that we're parched. We don't tell you that maybe the check didn't come through this month and where the hell does it go anyway if you're a guy who's left 16 forwarding addresses.
Okay.
So what do you do? What is the answer? Yeah, you're a little perturbed now. Kind of worried about the club.
The club?
Don't worry about the club. Worry about maybe Jackie might worry. Nah, don't worry. Okay, just cool it. Life is a breeze. Of course, some breezes, as you know, are 110 miles an hour and get promoted up the hurricanes. I passed that along. Speaking of pass it along, we're going to pass along now to the newsroom, the mutual newsroom, high atop the overlooking downtown, beautiful downtown studios of Washington, Virginia, Washington, D.C. The Mutual Newsroom will get us up to date on the news headlines, and we'll come back with a little more Open Phone America. We'll have our salute to my man Duke Zebert by taking him to one of his favorite places, one of mine too, the town of Cooperstown, New York. This is the Larry King Show in Washington, and we'll be right back.
An adequate job. Don and Mike.
The management of WJFK has decided that while ongoing negotiations continue, we will bring you the best of the Don and Mike show. Don and Mike will be back live soon. Thank you for listening.
Why would you possibly want to videotape this, ma'am? I'm afraid I'm going to have to confiscate Wrigley Field. Yeah, let me have that tape recorder, and I'll give you a treat. I will give you a.
Please.
Do you know what I'm thinking about doing?
No.
All right, let me explain. Oh, is this your girlfriend, Jimmy? You know her?
We went to high school together.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's
California. Nothing bad with the camera, okay?
Okay.
I know the camera's going, and they're going to bring it up here with me. Now, we're going to do this in two parts. First, we're going to marry all these dogs, and then we're going to have a big parade through the station. Everybody's going to get their goodie bags, their doggy bags. Can we ask now that everybody who's marrying a dog come under the holy tent now?
Come under the holy tent where His Holiness will bestow the sacrament of marriage upon all the doggies.
And, you know, this is a very docile crowd, Mike. I hear that pet owners are docile, man. That's why they put fish in a doctor's office, man, to calm you down.
My boy, my boy.
My boy, my boy. It's a very tame crowd we have today. All of the dogs are very well behaved. And what I'd like now is for Rob, very quickly, my altar boy, Rob Spiewak, to go through the crowd to get dogs' names and owners' names. And Charlie Broyhill, if you could play the appropriate, beautiful music in the background back in the studio.
Something to set the mood.
Rob, let's meet our owners and their dogs.
Eric, this is Aspen and his fiancée, Gretel.
Greta, okay. Thank you. Hi.
Know our name anyway.
Hi, I'm Mike, and Kathy and Cody are getting married.
Kathy and Cody.
Kathy and Cody.
Isn't that nice?
Nasa, and this is Brittany and Joker.
That Brittany and Joker. Did Brittany and Joker just meet each other today?
No.
No? Got
it.
All right.
And hey, Rob, good mic technique. Very similar to Larry Bud.
Larry Bud Melman.
Is Corey and Dick Wright. This is Val Mitt and his future bride, Dakota.
Okay, thank you, and
I'm Carolyn, and this is my dog, Buddy, and he's getting married to Chelsea.
Okay. I'm Kim, and this is my dog, Chelsea.
I'm Kathy. This
Who's got a cell phone ringing?
And Madison.
Is the cell phone ringing?
Can I have that cell phone? Please pass it up.
His Holiness wishes to confiscate the cell phone.
Bring that cell phone forward.
And now I'm going to give that girl with the video camera a special treat.
Yes, His Holiness has lifted up his sacramental robes.
There you go.
On record.
You can have that back now.
That'll make for great Friday night viewing, man.
There you go. See, we were once at a Chicago Cubs game. We were with this guy, and a girl was taking pictures of everything.
Yes.
And she said, take some pictures for me. So we were pretending like we were taking her picture. And when
she was a very nice lady. Had a very nice personality.
She had a huge personality.
Huge personality.
And at one point when she turned the other way, the guy with the camera, he was wearing a pair of shorts. It was real hot, like 100 degrees. He exposed himself and took a picture of it and then gave her the camera back so she hadn't seen that he had done that.
And it didn't have the miraculous technology of Polaroid. She had to wait till she got back, I believe, to New York City.
Yeah, till she got those pictures developed. And then we pictured her going, oh, here's my trip to Wrigley Field. Here's some real nice guys that I met. Oh, my God.
What is that? It looks like some sort of deformed peach.
that's what she got a shot of, and that's what you have on your videotape now.
And you know, we never got a thank you note from that lady.
Yeah. Yes? What?
Did you zoom in?
There was no need to zoom in. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
Now, Rob, who else is out there?
David and Scout's husband left at the altar.
All right. He's over here.
He's over here?
He's over here.
Wow.
All right. Who else?
My name is John, and this is Wren, and he will be marrying Elizabeth.
Oh, no.
Oh, doggies. All right, Rob, work the right side of the room over here a little more, please.
Hi, my name is Bruce, and this is Elizabeth.
Hi, I'm George. This is Hannibal, and his fiancée, Daisy.
Hannibal.
Are the lambs still crying?
Hi, my name's Steven. This is my dog, Hannah and Burr.
Yeah, come on, everybody. Step on over here, please. I know it's hotter than this tent, but let's get everybody under
Rob,
our gloves, please.
I'm Nelson. I have to ask you a question. Hey, Rob, does Hannibal have some sort of muzzle on to prevent Hannibal?
It's a guy, so I can steer him because he's 140 pounds. I try to.
Very good. Okay.
I'd like to get one of those muzzles or whatever you call it for Rob to guide him around. All right, who else?
I'm Nelson. This is Elvis.
That's Elvis?
Elvis.
Hey, Elvis. Hey, that Elvis is wearing a T-shirt, man. What's Elvis's T-shirt say?
Life short, bite hard.
So Mike Tyson should be wearing it. All right, and?
Hi, I'm Amy, and this is Sarah and Mo.
Hey, Mo.
Hey, Mo.
Okay, and in the back?
My name's Damien, this is Tasha.
This is a bit long, so I need all here.
Did you say your name is Damien?
Yes.
Damien!
Hey, we have our first pit bull that's been brought to the festivities.
No, there's two pit bulls out
two
here,
Two pit bulls, aren't they lovely?
I'm Darren. This is my 3-pound dog, Ginger.
I think we have our first owner that resembles the pet here.
There we go.
Look at that. Is that guy a dead ringer for his dog?
Yeah, he is.
Look at that.
Yeah, you win the contest.
That's great.
They're both shaking.
All right, and behind him, Rob?
Hi, my name is Deanna, and this is Yanni.
Yanni. How about that?
Yanni.
Asa.
Isn't that the guy
who?
That blows it?
And of course,
especially on the couch.
Especially on the couch.
And yeah, taking the dogs. Now, they're very good, sir. Thank you. You don't have to follow on that, though. Have the dogs face each other, please.
All the dogs face each other.
Dogs who are marrying each other face each other, please.
Including that dog that looks very excited right now.
Good boy.
All right.
Very good. Nice. They're all very nicely behaved.
Now, I ask all of our groom dogs, and please, masters, speak out for your dogs. Do you, groom dogs, take these bitches to be your lawfully lovely wedded brides?
I do.
Do you bitches take these dogs to be your male husbands through life? By the power vested in me by the state of Virginia and the United States of America.
And God.
And God.
There you go.
With God as my witness.
God.
God is great. God is in the room today, Mike.
I wanted you to preach a little bit.
I now pronounce you, dog and dog, you may sniff each other's butts.
Go for it, people.
Yeah, let's hear it for all our dogs. Yeah. Now, this is a beautiful moment, Mike.
Oh, this is beautiful, and they all stopped their fighting for that one spiritual moment.
Wasn't that nice? Now, what we'd like here is, do we have the goodie bags for all the dogs?
Yes.
All right, listen, everybody, follow me this way.
Let's
come
go.
On over this way.
We're all going to walk through the building.
Go ahead. Actually, I think what we're going to do is just give them their bags right now and then take the big parade through the building in a moment. Yes, sir?
My dog will get up in Ken's chair and hump it if you want.
That would be fantastic, sir. Thank you for
you are Mr. Helper, aren't you, sir?
Thank you, my friend. Now, let's see. We have goodie bags. And Tammy, what do we have in these bags?
There's a bunch of stuff from Petco in the bag. Rawhides, dog bones, speed sticks, and then there's squeezy toys.
Oh,
from,
this is beautiful.
The aquarium and pets.
Squeezy toys.
And then I said, listen, everybody, get a bag for each dog, please. One bag per dog. And while you're doing that, we're going to do a quick break. And then we're going to come back and take you all in a big parade through the building. And yes, every dog, hopefully, will get the chance to visit Ken Stevens' office.
Did you hear that? Parade through the building, and the dogs really start.
Everybody get the goodie bags for the dogs. All the dogs happy. Now listen, we really got to come as a real pack together through the station.
This is going to be the parade through the station, the parade of hounds.
So everybody gather around very tightly. Come on, now let's make this a big mob, and let's all move through the station together.
Bring
come on,
dog.
All dogs. All dogs go to heaven.
All the dogs get a nice tour of the station here.
Now come on through. I want all the dogs closer than this.
Don't be shy. Make yourselves comfortable.
All right, let's
go.
Get all the dogs in the holding, in the little holding area we have up here.
Very good.
Also known as a fire exit.
Come on in, hounds.
Covered with boxes.
All right. Yeah, thank you, Rob.
There we go.
This is our fire exit, Mike. That's why we have all of these boxes here.
Yes, proper for maximum flame impact.
Now, let's you and I just stand here and see how many come on in.
Come on in.
Now, listen, if you got to, go back. Go in this area back here.
Go ahead.
Stand right over back here with your dogs.
Go ahead. Make yourself
everybody
comfortable.
Everybody pile come in.
Now.
Come on in. Come on.
We're about to begin the parade of dogs.
Come on, everybody.
Bring your hounds in. Don't be shy. Don't be bashful.
Everybody, come on. Get a good spot.
All right.
Hi, dogs.
Tightly packed dogs.
There you go.
Keep moving to the back. Keep moving. Keep it moving, people.
All right. Now, is everybody... No, we're not near everybody in yet.
No, we haven't gotten everybody.
Only halfway through, Mike.
Welcome to our home here in Washington, D.C.
Okay. Now, stop there in the back. Stop.
All right, stop. Hold on.
Because we need to pile you all together.
All righty.
Keep the line coming
this
way.
Move it in.
Nervous
keep the line
coming
coffee.
This way.
Here we go.
All right. And now we still got more dogs coming.
We have lots of dogs here today.
You know, the only thing we're missing today is some lesbians.
Yeah, I mean, they would make it perfect, wouldn't they?
You know, lesbians
make... Heather and Rebecca.
Lesbians make every show better. Come on in, guys. Pack it through now.
Bring on your dogs. Bring on your dogs.
Now, listen. Hey, you guys. This really only... Everybody in the back, come on up this way, because the tour's coming this way.
Yeah, we're going to move this way.
Get real close. Pretend you're at a Who concert or something.
Do we have a lot of dogs still outside?
All right. All right, we got more that still haven't
more.
Made
only
their way in.
Five or six more, but I think we can start.
Now, we need all the dogs packed in as close as we can, okay? Everybody, come on up here with us. Come on.
Here we go.
Way through.
All
now,
right.
The first office we're going to stop at...
All right.
...is the office of Jeff Hedges.
Jeff? Oh, Jeff. Has Jeff left for the day?
Listen, who locked his office door? So this door was open when we
Jeff
came
here?
By before.
Oh, he left.
Listen.
He left because he knew we were going to do this with the dog.
And it's too bad because this guy has all kinds of girlish knickknacks and stuff up on his wall.
He would have hated to have dogs in his office,
well,
and that's why. Do you want to bring him back this way? Let's bring him straight.
All right, come on. All the dogs come up this way.
Right.
Hey, let's all go to David Hainline's office.
Come on in.
Come on, let's bring all the dogs in this office
come
right
on
here.
Come dogs.
This is the office. I'd like to see how many dogs we can get in this office. Come on in.
Very good.
Come on. Bring your
make
dog in.
Make yourselves comfortable.
That's one.
That's two.
Three. Come
bring
on
them all in.
We're going to see how many dogs we can get in an office.
All right.
Three.
This
keep coming.
Get...
Keep coming.
This could get ugly.
Come on. Pack them in.
Here comes the Great Dane. All right.
We are in the office of David Hainline.
Dogs don't like to be cornered, Don.
As you can see, Mike went to the Chris Beck Communications... fly-in.
That's terrific, and he's keeping the paperweight, which I think shows a lot about his
come
quality.
On, more people in here. More
right,
people
here
and dogs.
Bring in your dogs.
All Jeff right. Hedges is here. What's he doing? Hiding from us?
Hi there.
Come on.
How's
hey, there's David Hainline.
Hey, I didn't
hey,
know you had an access
wow.
there. How's
this
it going?
Packed.
We've got all your dogs. Are there any little dogs that we could get up on David's desk?
Yeah, how many dogs do you think we could get in this
there
office?
We got, well, right
there
now, it looks
we
like you
go.
Got about 20.
All Now look at, hey, I will give anybody a prize if their dog could take a dump right here, right on top of David's desk. All right, come on, we can do better. Let's get some more dogs. You know what? What is this? Is this Timmy's office? Hey,
I didn't know you could get into Timmy's office through this office.
Mike, that's Timmy, the Nigerian nightmare in the next room.
Hey, Timmy, how you doing?
Hey, come here. Come see these dogs, Timmy. You like dogs, don't you?
Timmy, oh, I love dogs. Wow, what would be your impression of all these dogs?
Wow, now that one looks very pretty.
Very right. Pretty.
Very pretty dog, yeah. Let me ask you something. You think you could go number two? I'll give you a big biscuit if you go number two.
That's a lovely wedding gown. Could you go number two on David's desk?
All right, let me get by here. All right, let's move the dogs
out. Let's go. Dogs out of David's office.
Move the dogs out of David Hainline's office.
Getting a little warm in here. I do see some slobber on the papers.
Now, are all the other dogs with us? We continue the parade?
All right, here we go.
Come on. Let's all go right. Visit Excuse Andy me. Rice, what do you say?
Excuse me. Oh, hold on.
Let's go right back here.
Hold on. I'll get him.
Andy, come on. We want all of our dogs to meet you.
All right.
Now, you know what? I bet we can get all the dogs in Andy's office. Everybody in here, let's count them. One.
Let's go.
Two.
Keep it
okay.
coming.
Okay. Three.
Go ahead.
Four, five.
Give Andy a little send-off.
All the dogs in this office. Six. Seven.
Make yourselves comfortable.
Eight. Keep them coming.
That's it.
Nine.
Enjoy.
10, 11.
They have to go to the bathroom.
Right.
Remember, it's A-OK.
12, 13, 14, 15. Keep the dogs coming. It's the parade of dogs.
Make 16, yourselves comfortable.
17, 18. Keep them coming.
Very
19.
Nice.
Come on, more dogs. We got more
now.
Room. Come on
Here we
now.
Go. There we
Come
go.
Come on, there's 21, 22.
What a lovely outfit that
Come on,
dog
we're going
to
try to get 50 dogs in this office.
All right, very
Move
good.
It all the way to the back, everybody.
Come on now.
Hey, and can everybody say hi, Andy?
Hi, Andy.
That's Andy. This is his office, and he doesn't have very good ventilation back here.
And for all of you taking a look at Andy, please remember his motto for life, dress for success.
Andy spends a lot of his time planning lunches around here.
Look at all these
all right,
lovely
keep
dogs.
The dogs coming in. Now, let's get one more dog in there, and then get the dog in. Okay.
All right, now.
Get in there.
They're all in there.
Get all the way in, and listen, we'll see you later.
Okay, hold on.
Just shut the door now. Bye-bye.
Bye, Andy.
Bye-bye. All right, now, we got about 25 dogs in his office.
Very good.
Let me see. Oh, Shrinsky.
Shrinsky's office.
Hey, Jeff Shrinsky's office. Let's bring 25 more dogs in here.
Come on, bring in your dogs.
This is fantastic.
That's good.
All
bring
the dogs. Come on in, dogs. Come on in.
Yes, bring the Rottweilers in here.
This is a much bigger office. All the dogs can fit in here. Come on.
All right, very good.
Keep them coming now.
Oh, look at that little Sheltie.
Keep the dogs coming.
Here we go. Up on the desk.
Everybody, the dogs knock the papers over. Oh,
they're knocking some papers over, Mike.
Boy, that dog
Come
is
on,
well
bring the dogs
down.
In. Bring your bulldog in. Bring him in. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, very
let's
nice
go
boxer here.
Keep all the dogs coming in this office real fast.
Very good.
Let's go see what's happening in Andy Rice's office.
All right. See if there's any.
Oh, who opened the door?
Oh, boom.
All you people get back in there.
Go on now. Make yourself comfortable.
Everybody has to get back in Andy's office.
All right.
What, did we just shut the door for a joke?
See, the idea is we want to fill the offices of people we dislike with dogs.
Not that we dislike Andy Rice or Jeff Shrinsky.
Not a bit.
Well, we do like Jeff Shrinsky.
We do like Shrinsky.
Okay, come on, lady. Get your dog back in there.
She's nervous?
Well, what happens when she's nervous?
You know.
That's okay with me. Why do you think we're shutting you up in this guy's office? All right, now listen.
Oops.
Nobody's coming out of here until you all behave. All right, now nobody open that door. All right, now, Tammy, how many dogs we got in this? Oh, we need a lot more dogs in Shrinsky's office.
Have any of the dogs in Shrinsky's office relieved themselves yet?
You know, this is the room for the big dogs, though. Now
this works for my dog. Hold on a second. Do your business. Go
right,
ahead.
Come on.
Do your business.
More dogs in the office here. Mike, look, we got a whole line of people who haven't gotten an office yet.
All right, come on now.
Keep going. What was that, sir?
I don't know.
You don't know what?
It's a little aromatic back there.
Oh, a little aromatic.
Oh, dog farts. Fantastic. All right, push it in that office, please. Hey, Rob, keep them moving there.
Could be a dog fart. Or, Rob, was that you?
Let's go back now and see what's up in Andy Rice's office, huh?
Hello? Landshark.
How you doing?
Can everybody say hi, Andy, again?
Hi, Andy! All
right. We'll check back with you. Bye-bye, guys.
You know, Don?
Yes?
People are making friends today.
Okay, keep it moving, lady. Get your dogs in there. Come on, listen. Rob, you're not good at this job. What a surprise.
No, I'm trying to get Ken's office open. I thought we might.
Don't worry about Ken's office. Just keep the dogs going in this office.
Now, why are you saying, wait, the dog doesn't want to go inside?
I've never seen a bunch of dogs that are quieter and better behaved than the dogs that we are putting into these people's offices.
I think all your dogs deserve a big kiss. Owners, give your dogs a kiss. Come on now.
All right, everybody in, and we're going to shut the door now.
There we go.
Everybody, now listen. Nobody open this door. Very important. You stay. Good. All right. Hey, good. Ah, now.
Success.
Oh, we still have more dogs left.
We do.
We still have more dogs left.
Want to check on these dogs?
I think it would be funny. We should just go back and do the show and leave all these people in there with their dogs.
I think that's a wonderful idea. Hi there. We'll be right back.
All right. Thank you. You know, I'm amazed that those dogs are all so quiet.
They're mellow. It's very mellow in here. Mellow dogs.
Now here, are they barking here?
No, they're having like a seance. It's like Mooney dogs.
All right. Hold on. I hear.
You know,
hello?
What we're looking for is, you know...
How come all these dogs are... Hey, don't make any personal phone calls, sir. No, I don't care. Put the phone down. The guy's making long-distance calls on Jeff Shrinsky's phone.
Troublemaker.
All right, stay there. Listen, here's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to do a commercial break. And thank you, Chris. I lost part of my Pope costume. We'll do a break, and we'll come back, and we'll just check and see what the progress is with the people locked in Andy Rice's office.
Very good.
And the people locked in Jeff Shrinsky's office. Now, hold on. I am hearing something down here. I am hearing some noise from this office.
We're going back to Andy's office right now to see what's happening. Sounds like they might be having a bit of a party in there.
Listen, whatever we do, don't answer the door. You know what dog's crazy?
There you go. You found the key.
You want to go outside? Want to go outside? Who wants to go potty?
Excellent.
Great.
Hi, Andy. Hope you're having a wonderful time in there. This is
very good.
This is the hardest you've worked in 2 months.
Let's go to Trey Shrinsky's office now. Same thing.
All right.
Hey, listen, whatever we do, nobody answer the door, okay?
Do not open the door. Oh, those are the dogs on heroin. I swear to God.
What are these dogs slow? Now listen, wait, hey. One of the guys are there shooting darts at us.
Someone has broken into Jeff Shrinsky's toy locker.
You know, we got a much better response back here at Andy Rice's door.
All right, remember, do not open the door.
Hello?
You know something? I think I heard Andy Rice barking. Oh, God.
Oh, that's pretty good. All right. You know what? I'm getting bored of this. Let's just open the door and let them all out.
Let them all out.
Hey, we open Shrinsky's door and let them all out?
All right, folks. Come on out. Show's over.
All right. Open it up now. See, they thought I was good.
Okay,
come on.
Bring them out.
Wow. You should smell Andy Rice's office, man.
Serious dog fart?
Oh, man. Human and dogs.
Fantastic. Look at that. Andy, your cheeks are red.
Oh, look at all these dogs coming out.
Oh, you dog owners are terrific.
Look how pissed Andy is. You know, I think we had 36 dogs in Andy's office, and I think 20-some in Jeff's, and we had a whole bunch of them in the hallway.
Uh-oh.
Well, what's going on here?
You having a little trouble with your dog?
How you doing?
A dog went done.
I agree.
Bulletin, we had a dog go number one in Jeff Shrinsky's office.
Oh, really? Yeah. Hey, there you go.
Yes.
Fantastic. Well, listen, thank you all for coming by.
We appreciate you soiling our offices.
And goodbye now. Listen, everybody, get your doggy bags, and thank you for coming by and being part of our show today.
Dog owners, give yourselves all a nice round of applause. You are all terrific.
And listen, let's all do that Arsenio thing, you know?
Nice doggies.
What was that?
Good girl. My dog went number one in the office.
And where did the dog go in the office?
Right there on the floor.
Oh, right there on the floor.
Look at there it is. It's number one right on the office floor.
What a good dog.
That's a good dog.
That's a very good dog. All right, well, Mike, that'll do it for Dog Day Afternoon.
It was a terrific job, Your Holiness, and the dogs are now married, and the dogs have gone number one in the building. That was the goal. Fantastic job, everybody.
And thank you, guys. We're up on a break, and we'll be right back.
WJFK.
And in my club, I will splash the pot whenever the f*** I please.
The Don and Mike Show.
Master haters, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
The management of WJFK has decided that while ongoing negotiations continue, we will bring you the best of the Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike will be back live soon. Thank you for listening.
Okay, the Elton John thing.
Yes, the Cinemax it was a rockumentary type thing.
Like a behind-the-scenes thing with a lot of home movies that were taken by Elton's boyfriend.
Yes.
And this is real funny. He's going through all the stuff in his closet.
Ah.
And he's got a tiara. You know, like the kind that...
You know, the closet scene was the most amazing because...
The kind that Barbie would wear.
He's talking about going on holiday. And they take him... And so he's on vacation. That's what they, you know, those people over there call holiday.
Right.
And he takes the... His boyfriend into the closet. And I said, man, this is for a vacation. And I have never seen a man's closet with this much stuff. He has one wall that is just filled with suits. The other wall is filled with shirts, and then he's got another wall filled with pants. He's got more shoes than I've ever seen. And then they go into
holiday, man.
He goes into this drawer, and he has drawer after drawer after drawer just with sunglasses.
My glasses.
Wow. And all divided into the different frames. And it was very cool because, I mean, you've never heard that about Elton John.
At all prescription.
Oh, they were. That's what he said. They're all prescription sunglasses.
Now, here's at the end of his tour of his closet where he comes and he tells you that he's got not one but two little tiaras.
They showed him.
Elton John.
Now you enter the world of my closet. These are suits.
Yep.
Here. These are all silk shirts.
This was a great show.
Shoes, of course. All these are different kind of glasses. They're sunglasses.
Uh-huh. Here we go.
These are clear frames.
Yeah.
These are pink, blue.
Drawer after drawer.
And purple frames. More sunglasses. All prescription, of course. Silver and gold and black frames.
It's amazing.
It's the first time Elton John's gone in the closet.
Frames?
He's probably coming out.
Over here, very important for anybody traveling on the road is two tiaras, because you never know when you're going to get invited to something really formal, so it has been worn on more than one occasion.
Okay?
He's got two tiaras.
Wow. Listen, I admire the fact that he was so open. This is
great.
Not a real flattering look at Elton John in a lot of ways. So there's one part during the show that we noticed, and we did not doctor this tape.
Right.
Now you can... You can talk to tapes.
You have to listen to this tape very carefully.
I think you'll be able to pick it up. Here you go. It's 17 seconds long. I'll hip you to what to listen for.
Okay.
I'll hip you, cats.
It comes at the end of the tape, right?
Yes, right in the last 2 or 3 seconds. Listen and you tell me if Elton John farted or not. Okay? We did not add one of our sound effects. Here is Elton John.
It's hard to start loving yourself. All this bit about you've got to love yourself, you've got to love yourself. You are, you know, I know that, but it doesn't happen overnight. It's 43 years' behavior. It's not going to change overnight. It's certainly not going to happen in 5 years. If it did, it would be miraculous.
Did you pick it up?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
I'll play it again. It sure does sound like a real one. You know
it
what
does.
I mean?
It does. And it could have come from Elton or the photographer. It's hard to tell.
Now, we went back and looked at the tape, and Elton doesn't make any facial expression.
Doesn't, to, like, it, lift his right cheek up or anything
to indicate,
like that.
You know, that he's let a stinker.
Okay.
But on the other hand, he doesn't say anything
right
to his boyfriend, like, hey, you just cut the cheese.
Right. Hear it, though. I didn't notice this last night.
It's hard.
And then we can go past all this stuff.
To start loving yourself, all this.
This is just blah, blah, blah. Rock star stuff.
You know.
Now, listen careful. It's right in the last 3 seconds.
Overnight. It's 43.
Sounds like a bubbler.
Change overnight. It's certainly not going to happen in 5 years. If it did, it would be miraculous.
Did you pick it up?
Yeah.
Did you pick it up?
That's amazing.
We didn't add it. We didn't add it.
This is right off the tape. Wow. This is right off the rockumentary.
Okay, one more time.
Yeah, we got to hear it one more time.
Just one more time.
Because if you listen, it really does. It doesn't sound like, you know, there are lots of things that can make that sound.
I'm going to guess it was from Elton.
But it doesn't happen overnight.
From the ruffled sound.
His behavior is not going to change overnight. So it's not going to happen in 5 years. If it did, it would be miraculous.
We like to consider ourselves experts on that sound.
One thing we do know about. My guess, Mike,
And boy, we should get a TV show where we would be like,
not coroners and not medical examiners, but fart experts. Right after our In Pursuit show.
Right after Sunday, right after In Pursuit, its farts are analyzed.
Sounded to me like that came from him because it was rather muffled.
It was very muffled, and perhaps it was one of the ones that, you know, the worst kind, the kind we don't expect.
And,
you know, the kind we don't prepare for.
The guy who was running the camera was standing up.
Right.
Therefore, he had more of a free shot, if you understand.
Was he on a sofa? He was on a sofa,
yes.
Or was he in a...
He was like on a love seat.
On a love seat.
Like sitting on the edge of a love seat. Or no, Rob?
No, it was sitting down on a sofa, but I couldn't determine if it was a leather couch or a fabric couch, which is a factor.
And also, you have to take into account, if we're going to be overanalyzing this, which we are, you have to take into account the firmness of the fabric. You know,
absolutely.
Whether it's one of the tight weaves.
I think it was corduroy pants. Well, that's what it looked like to me. He's got a crazy closet, man, like almost like clown clothes, like I saw at that Clyde Brother Cole, whatever it is, circus.
Clyde Beatty Cole Brother Circus.
Big checkered sports coats.
Yeah. And this closet was just amazing when he had walls of these suits.
Oh, and about our show In Pursuit, our show that we hope to have someday in development at some network. We hope maybe like Fox because they're so desperate.
Sure.
I saw a good one today. On the Los Angeles station.
A morning one, huh?
At about 10:30 this morning, wow. Which means like 7:30 on the West Coast. A guy was in a... And he was driving on a freeway in Southern California, and he stopped his car in the middle of the road, but he did it vertically. You know what I mean?
Oh, really? Yes, so he's blocking the intersection.
So he was blocking all the traffic. Now, the cops didn't know what to do. The guy was sitting there for a while, and of course, all the helicopters are now watching this. The guy puts up a TV antenna.
There you go.
He pops like a little camper, a window on top of the Winnebago, and puts up a TV antenna.
Sure.
Now what they think is, the guy then for the next 2 hours is watching himself on every channel.
He's just enjoying the view and also being able to monitor what the police are doing.
Right. Now, I don't know how this episode of In Pursuit ended. The last I checked, they were about to... get him with canisters of like gas.
Yeah, tear gas. Throw tear gas in there.
They did storm the trailer, and once they got inside, he was dead. He was already dead.
Oh, well, it would be a happy ending of In Pursuit.
We're In Pursuit.
So he actually was watching himself on TV, and then when he got bored,
just blew his brains out. I wanted to do that many times after watching a bad show.
WJFK.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
They love to get festive. Don and Mike.
The management of WJFK has decided that while ongoing negotiations continue, we will bring you the best of the Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike will be back live soon. Thank you for listening.
You know, we've got some guys who want to analyze that.
Okay.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don, Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Buzz. Hey, love you, Buzz.
I love you, sir.
Thank you.
look at Buzz shake his head.
I love it when Buzz responds, Buzz Burbank.
Usually, I don't wear underwear just in honor of Buzz.
Yeah, that's terrific.
That's my problem. Okay.
Really?
So I have a theory.
Yes.
I have a theory on this fart problem with Elton John.
Listen, I'd like to first off say I don't consider it to be a problem.
It's perfectly normal. As a matter of fact, it's cherished on this program.
It's a riddle.
The problem is who made the noise.
Right, that's the riddle.
And it would be impossible for Elton John or his boyfriend to make this noise. Their fart would sound something like...
Oh, dear.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, my.
I don't get that joke, man.
That sailed completely over my head.
Hello?
Hello, Don and Mike.
Somebody write me a transcript of why that's funny.
I don't get it. Everybody around us seems to be laughing uproariously, and I didn't get it.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Is this me?
Yeah, hi.
Well, I sort of had the same evaluation of that. It wouldn't have made a sound whatsoever.
The homophobes are calling, Don.
Hey,
absolutely.
Hey,
coming out of the woodwork right now.
I heard Elton on a talk show. I was up in Connecticut about a year ago, and he was on a talk show.
You know, I thought we were going to get some serious, serious evaluation of this.
This is serious news to us.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, right.
Okay, you guys are the fart experts. How can it be news to you guys?
Well, that's because this is important. When a fart is delivered across the airwaves and it's not...
to be analyzed and there's no way of identifying who it came from.
You know, they had all sorts of little graphics underneath the screen. Like when he would open his tour, they would have the little graphic. And what they should have done is that Elton just farted.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I want to talk to Don and Mike.
Pop-up. Yeah, hi. Now listen, would they have put that on closed captioning for someone who is deaf?
or pop-up video?
Yeah, would they put Elton farted here?
Uh-huh. I wish they would.
And what would the icon be that they used? Because I know that...
You know, I don't think it was closed captions because at one point I put the TV on mute.
Yeah.
And I was going to think it was right in the middle of one of his rants and there was no closed captioning.
Maybe they would like draw a little picture of like a dog poop or something
with like this
with
squiggly steam coming out of it.
Yeah. Hello. Hi. Are you there?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Susan. I just wanted to say that I agreed with the two guys about them being gay, and that's probably why I didn't make any noise.
Well, is everybody going to call with that same joke now? And listen, not that I'm an expert on this, but I would think...
Maybe that it made noise even though they were sitting on a cloth couch.
No,
Because of that.
I think that gay guys can fart.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Enough of those jokes, please. They didn't really sail over our heads. We understood it the first time.
Duh. Hello.
Mike.
But love, I get it. Hello.
Yeah, Don.
I mean, I don't get it.
Right.
You know, hey, I said that a lot the last couple of days. I just don't get it, man. Hello.
Yeah. And you guys keep Fran Drescher last night on TV again whining?
No, listen, all those celebrities, I'm telling you, there's going to be some type of backlash there. Once people stop feeling bad about Princess Di, once the funeral is held on Saturday, I promise I will keep this brief, people will soon burn out because what they don't, everybody forgets right now, these celebrities, that's the price, that's part of the price of having a beautiful car and a beautiful house and servants and places all over the world.
And adulation, I mean, in many cases from the, you know, for these movie stars, when you see these movie stars and they go to the premieres, a lot of the celebrities, they seem to like it, they seem to enjoy that.
And what I'm noticing is a bunch of what I would rate as mid-level celebrities.
Right.
You know, the guys like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Tom Cruise, those are the guys who I think, if I was going to give them the benefit of the doubt, I think those are the guys who are probably being chased.
Right. Sure.
I don't think there's like 15 paparazzi chasing Whoopi Goldberg down the street.
I doubt it sincerely.
You know what I mean?
She was making it sound like they were mobbing her when she got off the plane one day.
You know, she strikes me as one of those types that gets off an airplane. Like that time, hey, thank you for the call. When I was somewhere and we saw William Shatner, I know it was when we were out in Colorado a couple of years ago, and William Shatner walked into this restaurant and positioned himself at a table in a corner, but had his back to the wall so he could see everybody that came in. And you know he was making eye contact with people.
Sure, he wanted to be seen.
Yeah, hey, look at me. I'm Kirk, man.
You know, part of celebrity, really. And as far as, and I'm going to talk about movie stars here because I don't want to talk about Princess Di. We'll talk about movie stars is they want to be seen. That's part of the deal. That's part of the equation. I mean, exposure is the whole thing.
What they want, really, is the best of both worlds. They want
to can't have it.
They want to control it now. They all have publicists. Mm-hmm. They all try to get their picture in the paper. They just wanted to be pictures where it's controlled.
Right.
And all I'm saying is that once everybody wakes up from the grieving about Princess Di, you're going to say, wait a minute. You know, who's really chasing George Clooney all over the place for his picture? And if you don't like it, George Clooney, why don't you try to get a job in the real world with the rest of us?
And unfortunately, and I'm going to say that there's been so many people that are slamming these tabloids for printing these pictures, but people, really, in the public, we have become a little bit more savvy of the PR machine, and I think there's more of a desire on the part of the public to see the pictures that the celebrities don't necessarily want
us
to see.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just human nature.
Hello? Listen, it's the price to pay.
And
I mean this, really I do, and I think most people, if you could get away from the Princess Di aspect, would feel the same way. If someone said to you, you could be a movie star, and you can have yachts and cars and beautiful things and have everybody love you, and everywhere you go, never have to worry about a financial worry for the rest of your life, but the price you're going to pay is that people are going to follow you around and take your picture. Most people would say, okay.
I agree.
That's a cool, you're talking about gazillionaires here.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, I promise we would not stick on that topic, and we will not. Maybe.
I know.
It was just a downer yesterday. Man, I was exhausted when I got home last night from the show.
And, you know, I think really that some of these celebrities, and you're talking about the B-level celebrities, are in their own way.
And the nanny is a good example of that.
Yeah, they're taking advantage of the of the death of Princess Di to toot their own horn about this. And I don't think it's very becoming.
Hello.
Hello,
you're on the air.
I'm on the air?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think Jimmy is even more queer than Elton John could ever be.
Was that based on Jimmy's inability to close the deal yesterday?
Jimmy is still reeling. I said, Jimmy, I think you might have a chance with her. And Jimmy's...
He's very down.
He's very down about it.
He's a shadow of himself today. Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, guys.
Hi.
Both of y'all are old enough to know that Jimmy doesn't stand an Ice Cube's chance in hell that the girls should shank him. But anyway, hold on.
What do you mean we're too? What do you mean we're too old? You mean we've been out of circulation too long, or what?
I think I have.
You've been around the block one or two times, and you've seen how these cute girls learn over time how to yank guys around to get whatever they want.
I've seen how it works, and you've seen it too, Mike.
Yeah, I've seen it too. I feel for Jimmy though. I'm rooting for Jimmy. Yeah. I'm in Jimmy's corner on this one.
I'm rooting for him too because he's the guy that answers the phone, and when he's having a bad day,
he's having a
bad day.
Yeah. Well, I think he's maybe having a bad day because I think he's still getting some of those residual hate calls from yesterday.
Yeah, Jimmy doesn't seem really on top of the world today.
Two quick things.
Yes.
First off, I do believe that the fart came from the photographer.
Oh.
Because why? Elton John speaks very softly, and you could pick up everything that he says, which means that the microphone was pointed in his direction, whereas the photographer's would have been away from
him. I would like to point out to you, sir, that the origin of the sound was not necessarily coming from where Elton was speaking.
It was muffled.
But what I'm saying is that as soft as he talks, the sound of it was very, very faint.
Yes, but sir, it's a directional microphone, and it would pick up anything in that direction.
Right.
I doubt it would pick up anything behind the camera.
I agree with Robin. Yeah. Those condenser microphones.
I just love the fact that we're really analyzing this.
Yeah, I really, that's a good point, though. The condenser microphones wouldn't, if it came from the photographer, you wouldn't hear it unless
very
it was incredibly loud.
Well, it's not a loud, it doesn't have the timbre of a loud one.
I bet his really stink, too, because he's totally undisciplined, Elton John, like with his diet and stuff,
right?
Being a guy, it's very hard to do it sitting down without raising something up.
You know, and also, if he is sitting, I want to go back and look at the tape.
Are you talking about being aroused?
Sitting down.
No. What's he talking about?
When you rip one, you usually lift up a cheek.
There's some kind of movement at the front like that.
Your muscle to let it relax.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I must have a very advanced sphincter structure, then.
Well, you and I have been practicing for years.
I think our butts are about as worn out as Elton John's.
I
for different reasons, though.
You know, I think if you're going to analyze this, you have to think about the type of cushion that he was sitting on. That is the key. I'd like to see the sofa.
How'd you like to come back and be that cushion in another life?
And as far as celebrities go,
what?
I put that in the category of too much of a blessing is a sin. Everyone wants rain, but you don't want it to rain 24 hours a day. So if every time you went to cut your toenails and throw them over the headboard, there was somebody there with a photographer, regardless of your money, you'd say, stop, leave me alone.
Yeah, but the trade-off...
Not me, man. My wife found my toenails behind our headboard once when we moved, and she called the show and proudly told Mike all about it.
I heard it. Get a run, guys.
All right. Bye, buddy.
Bye.
Thanks. We were totally on his agenda. You aware of that?
Hello, Don and Mike Show. He was like a professional caller.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hello, buddy.
Earlier you were running that cart with the flatulation.
Elton John, yes.
Yeah, representing Elton John. Now, I've told from some people that I am acquainted with that are gay that if they're together in a party and they hear a nice raspy flatulation.
I'm not going to let any more of these calls.
This is homophobe central here, man. Unbelievable.
I'm not setting this segment up so guys can call in and make jokes about Elton John's butt. I seriously thought that we had a bit of tape that we could analyze.
Absolutely.
We really thought that we had a tape of Elton John. Can't we take this subject to the...
Can't we take it, really, in this case, we'd like to take it to a higher level. We are simply analyzing the sound.
Hello?
Hello?
Trying to decide where it came from. Which guy? Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
South Park.
What?
Have they talked about South Park?
Oh, no. You mean that cartoon?
Yeah.
No, listen. We're trying to stick with Elton John's farts.
Oh, okay.
Very, very difficult to keep the audience on issue today.
Hello. You said issue. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, this is Jim in Austin, Texas. Just wanted to help your analysis, and pitch is very important.
The pitch?
And that can help you decide... whether or not the the comment like Don and Mike are gay. Is,
what the hell are you talking? What are you talking about?
We're trying to talk about the pitch of Elton John's fart, but you're talking about the tape that's on the mic.
Equating it as to how that tape came about to begin with.
Because
with Hank Kingsley's comment.
Right, because Hank Kingsley said Elton John is a gay, but what does that have to do with the tape we're playing of Elton John's gas?
Well, pitch might have something to do with sphincter usage, is my...
Is this another guy now with this? Come
on. Unbelievable.
Fellas, please.
Try to keep the homophobia down to a dull roar, please.
I mean, the first guy online, I laughed, and then after that with the second guy, but enough!
Stop it!
Enough!
Okay, Don, can I ask you a question about your eating habits?
About what is my eating habit?
Well, how you don't like food to touch?
Yes. See, well, that's an issue. That's an issue. I said issue.
It's an issue, yes.
Well, I was just curious. My girlfriend is very similar to that, and she even goes so far when she has runny things like spinach to take a napkin and make a little dam around it so it doesn't leak.
No, see, I wouldn't do that because I wouldn't want the paper touching the food.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, it doesn't. It just doesn't allow the liquid to go.
I don't know, sir.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's all I needed. Thanks, Radio God.
And thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Ah, bye.
Listen, what our audience has just told us, Mike, is
yes.
That we cannot have a serious discussion on this show
about a flatulence.
At least if it comes from a gay guy.
Right. I mean, so, that could be any celebrity. It would be even funnier with lots of other celebrities. But with Elton, because it was real, and we thought, you know, this is on this tape, we thought we would analyze it, but people just can't get around the central issue here.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Pete from Sacramento.
And that's the guy wanted to go right from that to a serious discussion about how I don't like my food touching.
Yeah, we're yelling at him, and then he's going, yeah, incidentally.
Hello, but I'm so self-absorbed, I went to it right away. Yes, if it involves me, I'll leave you on the phone no matter what. Hideous remark you may have made 5 seconds earlier.
Stay on the line,
sir. You want to talk about me and my crazy habits? Hello?
Hi, Steve from Sacramento.
Yes, Steve, hello.
Listen, I wanted to weigh in on the Elton John thing. I'm pretty sure it was his, and the evidence I have is I've spent some time overseas, and Euros aren't real queasy about that. We'd go out to a real elegant dinner, and the guy let one rip right at the table, and
that's an interesting perspective.
Here's a man who's telling it the way that he thinks it is.
Wouldn't even break stride.
Granted, we are...
Wouldn't goof on it, wouldn't do anything. Three or four times during the dinner wouldn't matter.
Okay, we are moving from one stereotype to another, but it doesn't matter. It is a fresh stereotype, and
sure.
Now he's bringing the entire
Europeans are dirty. Well, Europeans.
They're much comfortable with that, and I want to say hi to Buzz.
All right, go ahead.
How you doing, Buzz?
Hi, fine, thank you.
Hi, love your segments. I think you deserve more time.
I get plenty, thanks.
Okay. Thanks, I just thought I'd just...
Hey, you know what, as a matter of fact, I'll give Buzz a second here. Go ahead, Buzz. Take it away.
With what?
What? I'm just kidding, Buzz. I'm just goofing with you.
All right, well, thanks, Don. Mike, love the show.
All right, jeez.
Join Buzz's fan club, man.
That's an interesting perspective. Now, I'm not sure. I haven't spent any time in Europe, so I'm not sure whether the attitude in Europe is occasionally, if one leaves,
man.
That you don't even blink. You don't even, you know, who knows whether that's true or not.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I still think Jimmy's ready here.
All right.
Thank you.
And that's a 14-year-old that was calling Jimmy. Angry 14-year-old that Jimmy doesn't let get through.
All right, well, I guess we can't have that fun anymore.
Yeah.
Elton John. We'll analyze that tape on another show.
You're having to discipline the entire class.
I hate that when you make me do that, folks.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.